It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on what I think is going to be probably a rip-roaring Friday on the front porch, right here on the horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes, and that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the horn chat room in the 3 hours, in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All times in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast, thanks so much for listening to the podcast and for sharing your time and for listening to the program live, either at HeadOn.live or your favorite podcasting platforms, and oof, even at tune in, where the program will probably be occasionally interrupted by an ad for ExxonMobil, for which we receive not one thin dime. Not that I particularly want any thin or otherwise thick dimes from ExxonMobil. Hi, I'm Robin. It is the ninth day of December, 2022. We are rapidly running out of 2022, fresh out. I guess there's 22 days left of 2022. A reminder, we don't do year-end retrospectives here because, hell, this entire program for the last almost 20 years has been one long day-in, day-out retrospective. But anyway, here in about an hour, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather each and every Friday to cuss and discuss and carry on. And something tells me I know what we're going to be talking about this evening because y'all have been talking about it with me all day long. And everybody seems to be pretty much of one mind. And we'll get there in fairly short order. But first, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So, tremendous thanks go out to our ninth day of the month subscribers. Thank you so much for a have a holiday show on me. That's tremendous. From one of our anonymous friends, thank you. And across the pond, thank you, Claire. It's so nice to have a new friend. And new friends are just wonderful. And Claire checks out the podcast from over in Merry Oldie England. And speaking of Mary, thanks to Mary Bell. Thank you for jumping in, for being a subscriber. Thank you to Khalil. Thank you to Ralps. Thanks to James. Thank you, James. So very much appreciated. And thanks again to Kat in Ohio for the Don't Make Santa Sad Challenge. Thank you. So what does that mean for where we are? Well, it means we are at $515, one of the lowest Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracles we've had in a really long time, and it can get better quickly because, like I said, I know what we're going to be talking about. Oh, God, I know what... I didn't sleep too well last night. I have this neck thing, and every now and then it spasms. And last night was one of those nights, so I just happened to be awake at about 5 a.m. when the news broke that Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema had decided to fuck America. And we've been talking about it all day long. We'll get into all the greater details, but the subject line from Matt in San Francisco, court corruption and cinema. Fuck 'em both challenge. Meet my $25 and I'll make it 50. Thank you, Matt. After the triggering we put you through last night with air supply, I can't begin to thank you enough, and I'm entirely on board with your sentiment in both instances. So if somebody kicks out $25, Matt will turn that into a 2-for-1 challenge, and we will go from 515 down to 440. Heck of a voltage, right? But I neglected to mention, if you do wander by the chat room right about now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers. Sorry, had to turn off the little there in the chat room. Early arrivers, Anatole and Irish Dave and Rick in Europe and Squeaky. And you will, of course, be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran, by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! And as well, up in the lush fastness of Oregon, our agricultural expert, Roger, in Oregon. Mathematics, too, because remember, I am mathematically challenged. Yeah. Hey, y'all, I hope this is as good a program as I anticipate it is, or it will be. Steve already noting in regard to Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema. I dislike that woman with the heat of 1,000 suns. Me too. And, of course, as we all know, Lady B always brings her A-game. And you know that Lady B is in a place, she's just taking about as much as she cares to bear when you get an email from Lady B and the subject line is, "This bitch." The absolute gall of her to sit there and wait before they called it for Warnock and then pull this shit. Either she's being paid by the Republicans or she just wants to burn the house down. My God, Arizona, create a scandal around her ass and quickly. She needs to go. And so I trust the vast majority of the Horn Family Community Congregation knows of which we speak. Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema has declared she is no longer a Democrat. Well, and now the breaking news. And she's going to leave the Democratic Party and be an independent. You know, I don't like eating crow. It's not particularly tasty. It's bony, and most of the time you wind up spitting out feathers. But I got some crow to eat because I was, you know, there I was celebrating, you know. Oh, look, Joe Manchin's not going to be the Queen of the Senate anymore. Or not. Because, well, Curtsy and Kirsten just recrowned the Queen of the Senate. So it looks like we've got that to look forward to for the next 2 years. But but to the extent that I'm eating crow, I'm also, you know, this is ancillary to all of this, but I've kept my given name. I changed the spelling, but I still have to go and get it done officially. because it costs money, and well, I spend all everything pretty much goes to bills and staying alive. But the fact of the matter is, eventually, you know, I'll change it. I'll change it formally. Got to change my birth certificate. Need to get that done down in Alabama before they decide I can't. You know, because trans. Because Alabama. And I've got my name all picked out. I've given myself plenty of time to think about it. I'm staying Robin. Don't worry. We're not going to have any more of that confusion. Got a couple of middle names picked out. But I swear this morning when the news broke about Kirstie and Kirsten Sinema, Kirstie, just a reminder, Dante said that there are 9 levels of hell, and that the 9th and lowest level of hell is reserved for the betrayers. Honey, they're going to dig you a basement. Just for you. And the reason I mentioned the name change is because I swear, you know, we've talked a lot about how on this program we're so far out ahead of the curve, it's like being on Straight Road. Well, there's another name for that. Cassandra. Wondering if maybe I ought not tuck Cassandra somewhere in my name. I won't, but sometimes. Because it was, what, a couple of weeks ago? Maybe 3-4 tops? I mean, this is one day less than exactly 1 month since the midterm elections. But I know for a fact, and those of you who are here every day, every evening, or who catch all the podcasts, Andy hasn't updated me on how far behind he is, but Andy won't miss a podcast. And hi, Andy, out on the road. But I know somewhere in the last 4 weeks, I mentioned the fact that, and I know exactly the context in which it happened. Someone had said something. That helps. Someone had said something about, oh dear, what if Joe Manchin becomes a Republican? And so I had to revisit that thing which I do from time to time, in which I explain that Joe Manchin is not going to change parties. And I've been pretty clear in my reasoning for that. And of course, I am the Manchin whisperer. Believe me, it's no fun. But, you know, he owns the Democratic Party in West Virginia. The Republican Party doesn't want him. The Republican Party despises him. And he certainly doesn't want an uncertain Republican primary to have to deal with in 2024. So he's going to stay a Democrat. But in explaining that sometime in the last month or so, I did happen to mention that I wasn't so sure about Kirstie and Kirsten Sinema, because Ruben Gallego was reelected to his seat in Arizona, and he had already announced that if he did, he was coming for Kirstie and Kirsten. And what I thought all along is, at least as of this morning, how about that? Old girl got some internal polling data that shows she has less of a chance than of winning her primary in 2024 in the Democratic Party than does a wax cat in the depths of hell. And that appears to be correct, because among other things, Darlene in Connecticut sent along an article confirming exactly what I thought. Per an MSNBC article, Kurtzy and Kirsten was trailing Ruben Gallego by a whopping 58% in early polling, presumably among Democratic voters in Arizona. Darlene noting she's not trustworthy in any regard. And so this decision on her part actually, as Darlene noted, increases her reelect chances significantly. If she runs as an independent, there's no such thing as an independent primary. The ballot can be absolutely chock-a-block with independents. And so what she's trying to do, and she'll still have the same filthy horse-gagging amount of pharma money and insurance money and bank money and hydrocarbon money. Hell, maybe Joe Manchin will even give her some of his PAC money. Wouldn't that be sweet? But the other thing can also happen. She can either win on the Murkowski theory, or she can split the Democratic vote sufficiently to let some mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggot type, like, say, Blake Masters. God, that guy. That name. Just such a cartoon. It sounds like a character out of, what was that adult animated series, Archer? Yeah, sounds like a character from Archer.
I'm Blake Masters.
You know, gold chains, chest hair, shirt unbuttoned, halfway, you know, down to his solar plexus. And that's a very real, or wait, here. You want to get a case of the Fantods real early in the program here? Maybe not
Blake Masters.
How about Republican nominee? Oh, well, this is gonna upset some Eastern Standard Time Zone diners and maybe even ruin Billable Rick's mid-afternoon snack. Carrie Lake. You think Carrie Lake can burble and babble and batshit crazy her way to the Republican nomination for Senate in Arizona in 2024, shrieking election fraud, voter fraud all along the way? Because I don't think that's... Arizona shows no sign of getting over it, at least on the Republican side. And Carrie Lake got entirely too close to the governor's office for my comfort. But it's gonna be a nail biter. And of course the next 2 years in the Senate are gonna be a nail biter too. I guess there was some degree of reassurance. Somebody put out and I think Flavio pointed it out. Yeah, you know, her voting record is like 90% or more with Joe Biden. And that's all well and good. But when we really needed her, like in order to enact, say, protections for access to the ballot for minorities and marginalized communities, she was nowhere to be seen. When we wanted to raise the minimum wage to something resembling livable, or, you know, at least maybe in the adjacent area code to livable, she was a hard no. She and Joe Manchin. Man, that Ohio Senate election sure does loom large right now, doesn't it? Sure would have been nice if the DNC had actually gotten involved in Ohio so that we wouldn't have to be welcoming jerk deluxe fake hillbilly Vance to the Senate. Oof. Yeah, What's the song? Is it That's Life? You're flying high in June, and I don't even know the rest of the line. We really didn't even get to enjoy Raphael Warnock's victory. And so, yeah, Lady B, you're right. That bitch. And I don't like to use that word. But sometimes it's just in the moment and in the situation. So, like I said, I suspect we'll be talking about the potential ramifications of that for a while this evening. Other things, too, of course. Hey, thank you. Thank you to Dave number 11 with regard to Matt's challenge. Grattan Resort and Casino in Ronert Park has sold out their air supply date. I have donated the $25 to cover Matt in San Francisco's grief. Hello, StubHub, right, Matt? It continues. I'm sorry, Matt. Matt says, on the other hand, so that challenge is met. We are down to 440. Fogarty, Guy, Stills, and Watson. We're going to see the Jim Israe collection tomorrow. His band will be playing with special guests Hall of Famers John Fogarty, Buddy Guy, Stephen Stills, and my all-time favorite, We'll Stab You If You Talk Smack About, Ann Wilson from Heart. Now, I love Ann Wilson. I can't wait to let loose and forget about the world for a couple of hours and just dance and sing. Hear, hear. I've seen Hart and Wilson over 100 times. Wow! Just keep Billable Rick away. Over 100 times. One of my favorite summers was chasing her over 8 states, meeting her after every show. I actually followed her, followed Hart one summer, and then Ann Wilson solo track the next. That's my bliss. Tomorrow's going to be great. That's what my husband has to put up with. Doesn't seem like a fair trade after sitting through Lost in Love, and I don't know why. But I do get him, so small price to pay. And P.S., the only thing better than seeing Ann Wilson is seeing her for free. Well, now, yeah, absolutely. I'm so doggone happy for you, Matt. And we'll try to keep from traumatizing you with air supply references for the remainder of the... By the way, there was a modest little bit of hell to pay after the program yesterday because Annette told me, I don't just love air supply. I've seen them in concert. And so I apologize profusely. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Randy Radar, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Flying high in April, shot down in May. That's pretty much the last couple of days, isn't it? And, of course, I conjured Billable Rick by mentioning him. May I introduce you to Junior Senator Kerry Lake from the great state of Arizona? Robin, by going independent, Kyrsten Sinema virtually guarantees that the Democrats will lose the second Arizona Senate seat by splitting Democratic votes between her and likely Democratic nominee Ruben Gallego. Kerry Lake got about 48% of the vote in running against Governor Katie Hobbs, so all she needs is a plurality of the vote if a real Democrat, i.e. Gallego and Sinema, are also both in the race. Looks like we'll need to pick up another GOP Senate seat to keep the majority in the Senate. Sinema is a selfish bitch who is wholly owned subsidiary of Big Pharma. Have I told you lately how much I hate curtsying Kyrsten Sinema? Well, you have, and please feel free to continue to do so, because you are in the good company of a hell of a lot of decent Americans. Down there working on the 10th level. Dig faster, boys! Hell, they may have let Flush Flimball off for a little bit to take up a shovel down there. And my friends, I think I prefer the pineapple. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Damn you, Robin, Cassandra, or whatever you decide for your middle name." That's a brilliantly sickening point about Kerry Lake challenging cutesy Sinema's seat in 2024. Now, there's a prime example of having to choose between the lesser of two evils. Puke emojis are, in fact, appropriate. I agree entirely, Darlene. And Ralph said, that's just what I was thinking. Carrie Lake for senator. Because Arizona didn't seem to cotton too much to
Blake Masters.
But, well now, 48% of Arizonans. There's a lot of crazy in Arizona. There's a lot of maggot in Arizona. So, like I said, I have a feeling that's just going to dominate the conversation. And by the way, Scary Jerry with a note. This is kind of technical. A happy tune-in report. I've geeked out rooting an Android flip phone. Tech Nirvana was finally achieved. Tech Nirvana. I bet that hasn't been said on any radio programs in this country today. Tech Nirvana was finally achieved, getting an old 2019, I think, tune-in version. Simply put, I couldn't close the phone and listen to you at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Joy, sitting at Dunkin's, vaping on cotton candy flavor Nick vape, about to order coffee and make my way to the old hollow tree. Stream on, Ms. Robin. Stream up. Stream up, Scary Jerry. So that's a starting place. And just a quick follow-up. I had a note from our pal Theo in the Great Northwest. Who, since we spent some time talking about the considerable amount of time talking about the spate, largely unreported, of attacks on power grids around the country. Turns out the power substation attacks in North Carolina had scary parallels here in the Pacific Northwest. One of them, only a couple of miles from me. I wonder if maybe it wasn't covered, perhaps to keep people from freaking out. You remember when Nitwit Nero said that,
well, I didn't want to tell them how bad the virus was because I didn't want people to panic.
But the bottom line is, representatives from Puget Sound Energy, the Cowlitz County Public Utility District, and Bonneville Power Administration noted that the attacks took place in November, but the FBI wouldn't confirm an investigation. And they're not sure, according to the Seattle Times, if any of the damage resulted in service disruptions. The Bonneville Power Administration, through its spokesman Douglas Johnson, said BPA is actively cooperating with the FBI on this incident and has encouraged other utilities throughout the region to increase their vigilance and report any suspicious or similar activity to law enforcement. And they didn't want to give details about what equipment was damaged. I kind of understand that, because that's just a way of saying, hey, shoot at these things, you proud boy, masked civil rights violating fascist terrorists. But he did note, Mr. Johnson did, that there was a deliberate physical attack at Clackamas. And over the Thanksgiving holiday, a substation was damaged and equipment took damage. Two Puget Sound Energy substations were damaged last month. Again, no details. Woodland, Washington substations of the Cowlitz County Public Utility District. Go ahead and tell me I'm pronouncing it wrong, because anytime I try to pronounce anything in the Great Northwest, I screw it up, but I'm doing my best. And I have a horrifying feeling that there's going to be more, because that certainly is what the chatter indicates. because, as we noted previously, they appear to be rather difficult to catch in an era in which you can put a camera anywhere for any reason. But if you're dealing with, say, let's say a 30-06 with a 4.5x14 scope on it, you can reach out and touch your target at a considerable distance. I mean, the muzzle velocity on those things is ridiculous. And I remember from my old bad deer hunting days, I was not a good deer hunter. Never actually killed anything in the woods. But you can shoot ridgetop to ridgetop around here. Or a lot of guys like to hunt along, curiously enough, high-tension right-of-ways. And you can, a scope like that, yeah, you can put the crosshairs on from a long ways out. Then again, going back to Kurtzy and Kirsten, then again, says Darlene in Connecticut, it might be a little fun to watch if cutesy Kurtzy wins re-election and has to deal with crazy Kerry refusing to concede. Not that it changes things, but I would love the press hounding and browbeating cutesy about it. Because her life seems a lot too easy. And she really is frustrating to ponder because I'm old enough, and I'm so old I can remember, you know the drill. I remember when, back during the dim and dark days of the reign of error under Dumya, I remember when Keith Olbermann would have her on his show back when he was still with MSNBC. And she was just a state legislator from Arizona stand. And it was all hail fellow well met as she talked progressive politics and how awful the Bushies were. And she achieved progressive stardom almost exclusively based upon those appearances. And then she made her way to the Senate. And in fact, the skunk did change her stripes. And she became a center-rightist. It's also worth mentioning that, to the best of my knowledge, she was not raised from wealth. I think she had to scramble along the way. And she eventually got herself a master's degree in, like, social work or something. I'm not denigrating that kind of a degree because, Jesus, that's hard work. But she parlayed it into a political career, and she is entirely about Kirsten. And this feels a little icky for another reason. She is, at least technically, a member of the LGBTQ community. Remember? She's bi. And that makes it, at least to my mind, all the worse. Oof. I know. Theo says, in regard to the infrastructure attacks, I suspect you're right. Any attention drawn to the attacks could lead, correctly or not, back to the Proud Boys who've bedeviled Portland over the last couple of years with large rallies intended to drain law enforcement funds and resources. I want to see how much of this kind of stuff in their past comes to light when the January 6th committee publicly investigates them in the near future. Well, Theo, there's not going to be a January 6th committee after January 3rd because the maggots will take control. Now, could maybe the Senate investigate the Proud Boys? Well, that depends entirely upon the consent of Joe to the mansion born, and, oh God, there she is again. Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema. The next 2 years just got a lot more dicey. So, you know, we shall see. We shall see. Point taken, Matt. Kirsten being by, Matt in San Francisco says, hell, Jeffrey Dahmer was gay. We don't claim him. As far as I'm concerned, she's maybe a couple of Dante levels down from that. True enough. God, I saw... I want to get this right. You mentioned Jeffrey Dahmer. A friend of mine posted a meme that I found devastatingly funny. And I got to see if I can find it. Because, there's a Jeffrey Dahmer mention. I showed it to Annette, and she was like, oh dear, there's no unseeing that. There, yes, it's an NFL reference. The quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow looks like Macaulay Culkin playing Jeffrey Dahmer. Wow. And that's one of those once seen, it cannot be unseen. Really and for truly. Oh, and just in medias res, I don't know if he's listening, but I just wanted to send out some good wishes to our dear, and I mean that, our dear friend Scott out in San Diego. I guess he's been feeling not so great the last couple of days. So whatever it is that ails you, Scott, know that this community is thinking of you. And we care about you, and we love you, okay? For reals. True that, Lee in New York reminding us, January 3rd, new Congress, new House. Please remember, the House cannot do anything until they elect a leader. They may be stuck at start for a while. Yeah, it's like one of the dart games where you have to double in and double out. Can't start scoring until you get on the board. God, I hope it's entirely too chaotic. Kevers McCarthy, man of silly putty, is the sort of humanish being who is, you know, they say that everybody, you know, all matter is nothing but vibrating energy. Law of conservation of mass and energy and all that stuff. And Hindu philosophy teaches us that this is all illusion. And physics suggests that each and every one of us is comprised, we have to be, from the material that was present at the Big Bang. That makes us all, in a way, 4.5 billion year old beings or something like that, whatever the age of the universe is. But not Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is comprised entirely of 200-proof ambition. And all in the world he has ever wanted to be is Speaker of the House. And, well, I say this guardedly, but I sure hope he never gets his heart's desire. Because he is such a contemptible human being. On the one hand, when the terrorists were attacking the Capitol on January the 6th, he got on the phone, he called Nitwit Nero, and said, "You got to call off your dogs. This is frightening. They're running around with zip ties and nooses, and they're shitting on the floor, and they're looking for Nancy Pelosi, and they're talking about they're talking about hanging Mike Pence. Call them off. Done changed my BVDs 3 times. And then a couple of days later, he put his knee pads on and went down to Mar-a-Lardass and begged the forever forgiveness of Julius Geezer. Billable Rick with a note, Arizona versus Florida. Robin, there's a reason that Arizona is called the second chance state. It draws the cast-offs from California, who we call zoners. For some Arizonans, that state isn't crazy enough for them, so they can always escape to Florida, which is known as the last chance state. See also God's waiting room. But I shouldn't really dump on Arizona too much, since it's become a purple state in the last few election cycles, contrary to Florida, as Arizonans elected Democrats, one nominal, to its 2 Senate seats in 2016, 2018, and 2022 cycles. It voted for Biden in 2020, and it elected Democrats in 2022 to the statewide offices of governor and secretary of state. Nonetheless, the state is full of many wingnuts, i.e. Andy Biggs, Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, which not so fondly reminds me of Orange County, California, otherwise known as Mississippi County, California. One last thought. Did you realize that Biggs was reelected to the House unopposed this year? No, but damn, what the fuck? What's wrong with you, DNC? Maybe I should move to Biggs' district and challenge him in 2024. Go for it, Billable. The DNC's not exactly carrying the ball over the goal line now, are they? Meanwhile, Rick Wilson, Ralphs tells me, Rick Wilson on Twitter. Said, Karen Sinema, you know, a Fox News gig is somewhere in her future. Well, Rupert does pay very, very well. And I would far prefer her in a Fox News gig than in this, you know, maybe part of this is that a sense of urgency might attach to Ruben Gallego's campaign. Get him the name recognition, get out there, start, you know, start running now. Oh, back to the cosmology math. Lee in New York says the solar system, about 4.5 billion years old. The universe, about 14 billion years old. Signed, Lee, in New York City, Earth, mostly harmless. Okay, so 14 billion years old. That might explain the neck spasms and why I'm a little creaky in my knuckles when I wake up in the morning. 14 billion years is a long time. Speaking of Fox News, okay, this is just gossip. That's all this is. Kathy Arreu has been arrested. She used to be a regular on Fox News. They called her the liberal Sherpa. Oh, not one of ours. Well, she went to work for Fox. What do you want? She got arrested in Miami today. According to law enforcement, they allege she stole more than $224,000 from her elderly mama and started getting credit cards in her name. I think she might have been hiding out in Mexico after the arrest warrant was issued last June. Really? I guess Rupert wasn't paying that well. The Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. Wait a minute, it's Florida. This is, after all, the state that's run by a corrupt kidnapper for governor. The Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office said she also involuntarily placed her mother in an assisted living facility in an attempt to gain control over her mother's financial assets. Back in 2020, she sued Fox News over harassment claims and is apparently one of the only people ever to sue Fox News for harassment and not actually win. Hey, says Stephen in New York. My uncle, GRHS, used to take me to Bengals games when I was a kid, so I have the Bengals in my heart. Given your moniker of Bungles and given their recent success, I think their designation as Bungles is no longer applicable. Yeah, but I'm a Steeler. I'm a Steelers fan. They're forever going, because anytime I see the name of the Cincinnati football team, I hear Myron Cope on sports. And that means I immediately hear him say, "Da Bungles!" Can't help it. Oddly enough, last night, because we got to talking about John Facenda, and Clarence wrote in a note I didn't get to toward the end of the program, saying, I loved seeing and hearing him on TV in Philly, because that was where John Facenda was from. And so I happened on to, I know this has nothing to do with the terrible and dread events of the day. It was just a little time travel. I spent an hour watching, and it was apparently somebody had like captured it off of videotape. But it was the 1978 NFL Films recap of the season up through the playoffs. And didn't get all of it, but then I happened over to watch the hapless Rams versus the hapless Raiders. And it was like watching two different games. Don't know. Me, I'm a traditionalist. I feel like the Raiders still need to be in Oakland. Yes, God rest his soul. I knew what that was, Steve. Yes. Steve's uncle, God rest his soul. That must have been a sweet time. I still will never forget. I think it was 1968. Yeah, I know it was 1968. Going to a Reds game with my father and his best friend and his father, his best friend's boy, who was about my age, and watching the Reds and the Giants play at Crosley Field. The Reds lost. Pete Rose was my hero at that point in time. But I remember my dad's Navy buddy saying, "Hey, they got this kid coming up at catcher." Wow. We all know who that was. So, I mentioned earlier, I'm the Mansion Whisperer. they at CNN went to Van Jones to explain Kyrsten Sinema and, by extension, Joe to the Manchin born. Expertise.
So joining us now to talk about that amazing interview that Jake had with Senator Sinema is CNN's Capitol Hill reporter Melanie Zanona and CNN political commentator Van Jones. Thank you both for being here this morning. What she said there, Melanie, was so interesting about the aspect. She said, Jake basically said, does this change the makeup of the Senate? This, you know, new Senate that they just got after the Georgia win on Tuesday night. She said that's kind of a decent thing to worry about, but it's a real
question. It's a big deal. That's a valid question. It's a question a lot of us are wondering. Look, it's a little unclear at this point. I would point out there are two independents who already caucused with Democrats, Bernie Sanders and Angus King. She said she didn't say whether she's going to caucus with Democrats, but she did say she's going to keep her committee assignments. She's going to vote the same way. She's not going to caucus with Republicans. So if that promise holds, Democrats are still going to have controls over the committees, right? And that was one of the big deals about when they finally got the 51 Senate versus the split Senate, that they would have control over committees. So theoretically, that won't change. But when it comes to the floor, Democrats aren't going to have necessarily the neat and tidy 51-49 Senate that they perhaps anticipated. This potentially gives Joe Manchin outsized influence once again. And so the question here is whether, A, Sinema is going to feel even more emboldened to vote freely, and B, does Joe Manchin also follow suit?
I was just wondering, what do you think?
He's also up in cycle in 24. Yeah. He has said repeatedly that he's not going to become a Republican, but it could put some pressure on him to do the same. However, I think because this takes some of the pressure off of Sinema to do this, she has a little breathing room now, it might make it harder for Joe Manchin to do that.
Van Jones, I wonder what you make of this.
Well, you know, it could be a difference without a decision without a difference. There's three questions you got to ask. Who is she going to caucus with? Who is she going to support in leadership? And who is she going to vote with? If those three things don't change, then the structure of the Senate doesn't change that much. So we got to figure out what that's going to be. But here's the thing. The other independents, you have an understanding about who they are and what they're about. She's less of an independent, more of an enigma. The challenge I think that Democrats had with her was that in the middle of the biggest negotiations for the most important parts of Biden's agenda, you just didn't know what she actually wanted. You know what she didn't want. And she would sort of do this thing, and it was just a confounding political presence. And I don't think that that actually is what people in Arizona are looking for, or anybody's looking for. The reason that you have someone like Bernie Sanders as an independent, he has a consistent worldview that doesn't quite fit, and he can tell you what that is. With Kyrsten, you just never knew, what do you want? You say you're representing Arizonans. Well, which ones and what do they want? And it was just confounding. So in some ways, it's more truth than advertising when she says she's not a Democrat. But I think that she evolves. It'd just be helpful for us to know, what do you actually stand for and what do you stand against, besides just sort of being a contrarian that basically gums up the Democratic Party's processes.
Van, I want to get your reaction, and Melanie, jump in too. Let's just play what Senator Tom Cotton just said about this. Here he was.
Well, it's a reflection on the Democratic Party and just how extreme and left-wing it's become in recent years. They've essentially drummed Kyrsten Sinema out of their party. Look, we don't agree on many issues, but I've told her over the last few years that if she wanted to dip a toe in the Republican Party's pool, we'd be happy to have her jump in with us as well.
A lot of Republican love for Kyrsten Sinema this morning. I mean, Van, you're shaking your heads, but it was just a few months ago that Mitch McConnell called her the most effective first-term senator I've seen in my entire time in the Senate.
Look, when you're getting praised by Tom Cotton, who is horrible on LGBTQ rights, horrible on basic justice issues, horrible on every issue, I don't think that's great for people in Arizona to hear her being praised in that way. Look, I think that fundamentally what you're going to see now, Ruben Gallegos is going to almost certainly now challenge her for that Senate seat. There's been a lot of pressure on him, a younger progressive Latino in her state. I think he probably steps up. You got to watch what he does. I agree. This puts Manchin in a very interesting position. What everybody's worried about is that 2024 calendar where you got a lot of vulnerable Democrats. And in some ways, this can seem like it's above partisanship, et cetera, it also could be her reading some tea leaves in her home state. Again, I agree with her. These parties are difficult to navigate, but I would have more confidence that she means what she says if she were consistent in what her actual values are, what her priorities are. She's not an independent, she's an enigma. And that is very, very different. And so I think watch Ruben Gallego going forward, watch Joe Manchin going forward. But if she caucuses with Democrats, supports Democratic leadership, and continues to mainly vote with Democrats, it doesn't change Joe Biden's hand as much as you might think.
Yeah, and that's what we're hearing from the White House, is they're saying, look at all the times that she has voted with us. Melanie, you know, what Van says there about Ruben Gallego is so important, because he had said he would primary her. But yeah. Now this, basically, I guess the question is, could she have won if she does run for re-election as a Democrat in that
primary? We answered
that.
Yeah,
I think that was part of her calculation, right? This would have been an ugly primary. She's facing a ton of pressure from the progressive wing. I think Ruben Gallego would have challenged her. So now this immediately eliminates that threat. Whether she can make it as an independent in Arizona, we're kind of in uncharted territory here. But there are more registered independents in Arizona than there were before. There were a lot of split tickets voters in the last election. And for Sinema, this makes sense practically. She has always had an independent streak. I think she likes being called an enigma, to Van's branding there. She probably relishes in that. She likes the praise from Mitch McConnell. And a lot of people don't remember, but she actually got her political start running as a member of the Green Party. So it makes sense politically for her, and I think it makes sense practically as well.
Oof. The Green Party. Jill Effenstein. Ken Jones, Steve notes, he goes to a diner near my church. It's really weird, but he looks exactly in person as he does on TV. Not shorter in person or anything? Yeah. No? But they didn't, you know, CNN didn't say the obvious that we've already brought to the table here. Polling indicated she was going to get absolutely slaughtered in the Democratic primary by Ruben Gallego. Steve also noting Van Jones, the new Chris Cillizza. Chris Cillizza got bounced from CNN recently. The Captain Obvious. Of American politics. So we are at the top of the hour. We could actually have a community-made miracle for Friday on the front porch with only $440. Been a long time since we've seen anything like that. If we did that, well, we'd be pretty much guaranteed to be into January. So the PayPal button's over at headon.live for anybody who'd like to help, and your help is tremendously appreciated. Let me type the message in here. I think we should go ahead and go, right on time. Go over the river and across through the woods to the old holler tree. Because I got a feeling people are absolutely chomping at the bit. At least I hope you are. Because this is one of those days. Let's see. Hey, Roger, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just shutting down your headon.live feed and playing with the mouse, and I think I'm good to go.
Okay, good deal, good deal. How's your day been?
Minimally nice. You know, it's kind of shitty weather and
same.
That kind of thing. And I put the hard top on the little car. Hopefully tomorrow we're going to take it out for a little run with some other little British cars.
Oh, how
hopefully
fun.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, not too wet on the road. That'd be nice.
Yeah, well, if it's pouring down rain, we'll take the other car. But if it's half-ass nice, we'll meet up at 9-ish in the morning and head up the road to an Amish bakery that has all kinds of really good, nice goodies that they make.
Oh, yummy.
Along with some other things. And my wife decided she wanted to go up, and she's gotten tired of kind of baking the Christmas cookies, so she wants to go buy some. So we're going to hit up the Amish church to – well, it's a bakery adjacent to the church and house and all that. And they make absolutely fantastic baked goodies.
Any fried pies?
I'm not sure about fried pies, but I don't know. She goes in and buys a whole bunch of crap, and I put it in the car and we drive home. And then I eat it.
Sounds nice. Yeah, we've got 49 degrees right now here, and I don't think we're going to see the sun again, God, until we may see it once briefly on Tuesday, and then it just gets progressively worse. It's a grim time of year. I mean, I know, holiday season and everything, but...
Gets dark early and stays dark late. I don't know. I'm starting to sleep in until damn near 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we've been staying up late watching movies and stuff, and just yeah. But then again, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning finding out that what time did I send out that tweet? Because I tweeted it immediately.
Well, that clip you just played. Talking about her continuing to caucus with the Democrats and that kind of thing, should still allow for the majority of a committee to be Democrat instead of
right. As long as she caucuses with the Democrats, the committees will be Democratic majority committees.
Yeah, and particularly the judiciary.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference, and that means that. To the extent that maybe the January 6th committee has to knock off, as long as Curtsy and Kirsten and Queen Jo give their permission, then maybe continued investigation of the terrorist attack can go forward.
Well, I've become real curious on the January 6th committee sending out the referrals. I believe there are going to be 5 referrals over the Department of Justice, and reporting theoretically everything they've gotten so far and submit it out to the public and their final conclusions. I believe December 19th is the day.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere that that's their drop dead date.
Yeah. And then the other one is that the media keeps going on classified documents. I don't give a shit whether they're classified or not. He stole government paperwork. And it
government property.
Public paperwork. Yeah. He took government property, and it doesn't matter that they're classified or not. So I hope the January 6th committee pulls on that a little bit.
Well, it is interesting in that light, since you're talking about the documents. The DOJ went into court, and at least for the time being, the federal judge hearing the case has refused a request from the DOJ to hold Nitwit Nero and his pettifoggers in contempt. They actually asked for a rule to show cause. Because the pettifoggers still haven't appointed a custodian who can be put under oath to say that Nitwit Nero has, in fact, returned all the classified documents. And I get your point relative to classified or not. But with regard to classified documents, and they still haven't done what they were mandated by court order to do.
Well, where does that put the one attorney who signed that they had turned over everything.
That dude's in a world of hurt. But it doesn't affect things in real time now. I mean, that's his own separate hell, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, then why aren't we hearing about the hell that I thought it was a she, being put through for filing that false claim? Why hasn't that come into a court?
Because it may not have happened yet, A. Or B, if it's a matter of bar disciplinary action, that stuff doesn't usually happen out in broad daylight.
Okay, so there may be bar disciplinary problem, blah, 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 blah. But the fact is that person filed a false document with the Department of Justice.
Agreed.
And there should be a criminal charge associated, and it should be a very easy case to make.
Well, apparently it is fairly simple to make it, to the extent that anything is simple in under the federal system. And that's why in the instant case, the pettifoggers still haven't appointed somebody to do the certification, because at this point in time, they've learned that much. Anybody who signs off is almost immediately going to be under a microscope and you know, taking, what was the phrase Roger Stone used? Having their time in the barrel.
Well, I understand that that's why there's the reluctance now for anybody working for Trump to make that statement, because he has clearly shown that he will lie to his attorneys. No problem with that. But I guess my frustration is with the delay, delay, delay. You have a case where an attorney took that on, signed the statement, submitted it. They got a search warrant. They found more documents. That attorney clearly lied. That attorney clearly has violated the law because they submitted a false document. I mean, it would be like me getting pulled over for a driving without a license or driving under the influence. They put me in the police car and I puke my guts out and they take a sample of it and it's 16% alcohol or whatever the hell the number is. And I go to court and the only thing I can argue is they didn't read me my rights at the right time or something other than that. But the fact that I was drunk or the fact that I was driving on a suspended license is there, and I pay the price, whatever the price may be, whether it's days in jail or a huge fine or whatever. And it doesn't take forever for the DA to file the charges and hand them to the court, and the court says, come in on February 5th and you'll get sentenced, kind of a number. And it would seem to me that this drag is in such error that attorney should have already been hauled in. Oh, God, I got to go get rid of brain.
Thank you.
And move the ball. Now it's giving me something's wrong. Anyhow, move on around and I'll play the game in the other chat.
Okay, and something else to bear in mind, to the extent that whatever that false signage was on that false signature was on that document, it could be a felony, and no one may be charged with a felony under the Constitution except by indictment or information. And the only way you can charge somebody by information is if they consent to it, and the only way anybody ever consents to it is if they are if they've already entered a, you know, come to a plea deal. So there may be a backlog. I mean, that grand jury's kind of busy, depending on which grand jury we're talking about. So it could be a matter of the grand jury having to act first. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. By the way, Steve in New York says, certification signed, it's small peanuts. There's no reason to spend time on it because it's really not consequential in the grand scheme of things. But like you, Roger, I don't want anybody walking on this. Nobody. This was the most single most corrupt presidency that has ever darkened the White House, and every single individual in it needs to burn, figuratively speaking, Agent Fred. So, for what it's worth, by the way, in regard to Van Jones, Ron in Raleigh says, Van is one feckless fuck. Any so-called Democrat that calls the Democratic Party the Democrat Party needs to get the fuck out. Have you noticed how many Democrats have taken to using that filthy appellation? Unfortunately, I have, and hell, it's, I mean, even down here to the local level, the number of people who refer to the Democratic Party as the Democrat Party, I mean, that piece of messaging really, really worked. So it's less than inspiring. Yeah, thanks, Theo. Theo sent me a message saying, you're right again, damn it. I know. Sometimes being right isn't exactly a good time. Bums me out. Oh, and there's another story out there. If we're gonna have a rollicking Friday on the front porch, we're gonna need some people to rollick. It's there's a lot of room on the front porch this evening if you want to jump into the conversation. I did see that Kevin has joined us. Kevin, are you there? Okay, because Roger said he's going to have to step away for a little bit. That's cool. No, there was a story yesterday. The House Judiciary Committee had a hearing yesterday, and I wanted to get to it, but I figured that today, Friday, being, you know, our front porch discussion, it would still be relevant, and of course, it is. A little bit of fire in this hearing, because the hearing was specifically in regard to the question of whether or not Sammy Bad Breath or Alito is a nasty little leaker. We talked about this on the program within the last couple of weeks. Bombshell New York Times story with a witness claiming that Sammy and or his wife, I remember when she said, I remember his confirmation hearings when she sat behind him wearing a suit that looked like the upholstery from a 1958 Edsel. And she wept great big alligator tears when people talked about what a horrible and unfit human being Sammy Bad Breath was for the Supreme Court. And and then suddenly all anybody was talking about was Mrs. Weepy Alito. Kind of reminds me of Vicky Hartzler in the House of Representatives bawling over the fact that people who loved each other differently from how she wanted them to were going to have their marriages at least nominally protected. But the Democrats yesterday called a witness, one Reverend Robert Schenck, and he testified about a Dodge that he ran in which he infiltrated conservative justices with wealthy social conservatives who would make friends with them and then sort of work them behind the scene. Speaking to the House Judiciary Committee, Reverend Schenck testified, the operation's overall goals were to gain insights into the conservative justices' thinking and to shore up their resolve to render solid, unapologetic opinions, particularly against abortion. I called this our ministry of emboldenment. People like Andy Biggs and Jim Jacketoff Jordan on the committee sat there despising Reverend Schenck. And the case that this centers on, at least initially, is the Hobby Lobby case. And it was back in 2014 that Reverend Schenck said that he was told by someone that he insinuated into the company of Sammy Bad Breath and Mrs. Bad Breath . Well, they told Schenck what the outcome of the Hobby Lobby decision was going to be a couple of weeks before the decision was even rendered. I'm willing to believe it. It certainly works within the frame of my confirmation bias. And it leads one to wonder, of course, as I've noted before, about just who leaked the Dobbs decision. And here on this program, in this community, we've said all along that the leading contender for leaker there is one of the people that, of course, old Balls and Strikes Chief Justice Roberts can't touch. He can compel testimony and he can search devices and whatnot of anybody who works there in the Supreme Court building, except the justices themselves. Chairman Jerry Nadler, discussing this particular leak, said that the whole thing cries out for Congress to impose a binding code of ethics upon the Supreme Court, because none such exists. And I will reiterate that all nine members of the court are literally laws unto themselves. You remember when fat dead Tony Scalia went duck hunting with his pal, Darth Cheney? You know, Dick Cheney before he dicks you. I said, of course this is not a violation of judicial ethics. I am a very ethical kind of guy. And I would never, ever talk about a case with my dear friend, Dick Cheney, whilst we were out hunting of ducks. Sure. And of course he took that secret to his grave. Jerry Nadler noted along the way, Supreme Court justices cannot self-police their own ethics, and we shouldn't expect them to. Meanwhile, Reverend Schenck pointed out there were clear rules in place limiting the way one could interact with the representative branches, and none of that applied at the Supreme Court. We knew that there was a great deal of liberty and latitude there and made our operation at the judicial branch at that level much easier. Meantime, you know, the minority gets to call a witness too, and they called a former clerk for Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas. And the guy who used to clerk for Fappy just happens to coincidentally represent Ginsurrectionist Thomas, Fappy's wife. And that dude, Mark Paletta, said, "Oh, Reverend Schenck is a con man." "Well, I mean, he's a preacher. What do you want?" "And you can't trust him, because he said he lied at times during his lobbying." Paletta, getting, you know, methinks he doth protest too much, got all bent out of shape. "Schenck's entire project was a grift and had zero impact on any justice," Paletta said, absolutely unable to say such a thing as a matter of fact and engaging in the purest and most rank of speculation. It's absurd to think that a noble and honest man like Fappy, Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas or Sammy Bad Breath would succumb to pressure to be more conservative on abortion rights. Well, it's not necessarily that there would be. This was a pipeline for information, because if you know 2 weeks in advance what the decision's going to be, that makes your fundraising even more effective. Oh, but, well, that old saying that among lawyers, when you've got the law, you pound on the law. When you've got the facts, you pound on the facts. And when you don't have either one, you pound on the table. Paletta said, "You're smearing the court and encouraging the public to question the court and its rulings. This political assault on the court is a dangerous game." You know what's a dangerous game? Reducing more than half of the population of this country to second-class citizens. That's a dangerous game. And it ain't a game. It's life. Of course, nobody showed up from the Supreme Court. They're above it all. The House Judiciary Committee had, in fact, asked time again and again for them to send a witness, but no, they declined to do so. Gail Wright got the information from Sammy and Mrs. Bad Breath after a dinner that she and her husband had at the Bad Breath home in Alexandria, Virginia. Gail Wright said, "Nuh-uh, did not neither." But here's the interesting part. I mean, I find it all interesting, but, well, you know what I mean. Pounding on the table in their own right, Andy Biggs, he got mentioned earlier, he's the maggot from Arizona, said, "You held zero hearings on the leaked Dobbs decision." And backing him up, Jim Jacketoff Jordan said, "Not one hearing about the real leak, but here we are having a hearing on the fake leak." God, I hope that complaint comes back to bite them squarely in the ass. That would be a beautiful thing, would it not? Because I still say that logic dictates that either Sammy or Fappy Thomas were the leaker. And the greater likelihood is with Sammy Bad Breath, because it was, after all, his opinion. Oh, and the Goddess of Irony sent us a little goodie the other day. Wednesday, a maggot in Florida was let out on bond, because, of course, white guy, Republican, Florida. Florida State Representative Joe Harding was indicted by a federal grand jury on 6 counts because he allegedly scammed $150,000 in pandemic small business loans and used the names of 2 dormant companies to do so. Between December 1, 2020 and March 1, 2021, representing Joe Harding, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian, used the dormant companies to process applications for loans on the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan application, and then used false bank statements to support the claim. The 2 businesses, well, one was called the Vac Shack. They sold discounted vacuum sealer bags. And then there was Harding Farms, 46 acres of horse and cattle. And neither of them had been active in Florida from May 2017 to December 2020. They were just sitting there, but they came in awfully handy. So, representing Joe Harding went out and got him a couple of new bank accounts and filed paperwork with the Florida Department of State to reinstate the companies so that it would look like they were actually something more than the dodgy shells they were. His paperwork said that 12 months prior to January 31st, 2020, the Vac Shack pulled in $420,874 in revenue. And then, upon being indicted, Joe Harding resigned. But he said, I want the public and my constituents to know that I fully repaid the loan and cooperated with investigators as requested. So he's looking at 2 counts of wire fraud, 2 counts of engaging in monetary transactions because he transferred the money, and 2 counts of making false statements to the Small Business Administration. Out of those 6 counts, he's looking at a maximum total of 35 years in the federal stir. Once again, protect the money, manage the morons, and punish the mean ones. He won't get anywhere near 35 years. Probably won't spend a year. He sat, interestingly enough, on the Florida House Judiciary Committee. He's set to go to trial on January the 11th, in Gainesville, Florida. About that. But it's still good news. And while we're at it, this guy's kind of the father of the Don't Say Gay bill. God, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. From the other end of the legal spectrum, this is pretty disgusting. And Lord, this goes back years. You remember when former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder got indicted for his involvement in the Flint water disaster, in which primarily children of color were lead poisoned by virtue or as a result of decisions that he made? he's the one who insisted that there be managers appointed to run Flint city government. Prior to 2014, Flint had gotten its drinking water from Lake Huron. But Rick Snyder and his managers thought it would be a, would save him some money if they just pulled the water out of the Flint River instead. And because the water in the river was corrosive, lead leached out of the pipes. And thousands upon thousands of children were lead poisoned. And there was an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease. So eventually he was charged with two whole misdemeanors. Now I say all that because today, Genesee Circuit Judge F.K. K.A.Y. Baim, B.E.H.M., tossed out the charges against Rick Snyder and gave a big middle finger to all those poisoned children in Flint. And there will be no consequences for just about anybody who poisoned those children. Nick Lyon, former director of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, Eden Wells, state's chief medical executive, they were both charged with involuntary manslaughter a couple of months ago, October. A judge threw out the indictments against seven of those literally toxic people on the notion that there had been a procedural error. That's the kind of thing that just sort of sickens you right in your gut. Bad. Hey, just curious, Is there anybody in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable?
Hey, can you hear me, Robin?
Yeah, I hear you, Kevin.
My microphone was muted on my phone. I'm sorry. I'm driving home from work.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm here.
You know, I just heard all that, and yeah, it just makes my blood boil that that guy's getting off like that. I'm sure that has there been like civil suits filed?
There's been a settlement of sorts.
Yeah.
Let me see here. I had the details. Let me reopen the story.
Yeah.
Eventually, a federal judge signed off on a partial settlement for victims of the contamination to the tune of $626 million. Most of the money was directed to be paid to the poisoned children.
I mean, he knew what he was doing, and that whole, you know, Snyder, everybody else that was in on it knew what they were doing. Let's face it. I mean, name a medium to major river in the United States that's not contaminated to some degree as far as drinking water. I mean, nobody drinks out of any rivers. I mean, maybe out west or something like that, but, you know, or a mountain or something, but
right,
you know,
but you know, tens of thousands of little black kids, they're not worth the added cost of bringing clean water out of Lake Huron. You know, the thing that we have to get down to all the way down to the ground on here is that this is what we talk about. This is what we mean when we talk about environmental racism.
Yep.
If that was, Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan.
Right.
They would never have pumped Flint River, dirty river water through those pipes. Those are Those are wealthy, mostly white people. Damn it.
Right. You know, it surprises me. I'm just a little somebody a lot, you know, before they wound up doing it, had to like know that they were planning on doing that. And like, hey, can't do that, you know, and just like some, I don't know, somebody out there had to know something, some worker, like, this water's no good. I don't care how you treat it, what kind of filters you put in, what kind of charcoal filter, whatever, you know, Culligan Waterman, nothing, it ain't going to matter. It's shit water, you know? Somebody had to know something. I mean, I don't know.
And somebody's did, Kevin, but here's the problem. Back then, there was deemed to be a financial crisis in Michigan, and Rick Snyder created, out of whole cloth, this idea of gubernatorially mandated managers who would supersede city and county government.
And that's so it just slang for, go ahead.
No, yeah. Who would then say, you know, it doesn't matter, we're doing this anyway.
Yeah.
And so the river water was filthy enough that it was corrosive, and the corrosive water caused the lead to leach out of the pipes. And you know, that's an entirely separate issue. Why anywhere in America is there a single pipe still carrying why is there still a single lead pipe carrying water?
I mean, if I'm a worker or a manager at the Department of Public Works or whatever was responsible for setting this up, diverting the water from Lake Huron to the Flint River, you know, go behind the guy's back or the feds. I don't know. Find somebody that's going to, I don't know. Maybe, I guess they're all worried about their jobs or something like that effect. I don't know. But it's just amazing. It's just amazing that you would pull off coming out of the lake, and all of a sudden, no, we're going to do this nasty river. And everybody just went right along with it. Like, and I was just surprised that, like, area colleges, you know, like, water testing, you know, universities, you know, because a lot of times, you know, they're involved with the environment, you know, like UMass up here, they, you know, have soil testing, water testing, and somebody would have just said, hey, you can't do that. Like, enough of them would have, like, all jumped up and said, hey, you know, you got this thing out of whole cloth, do it somewhere else, do it with some other kind of industry, not drinking water. You want to do it with, you know, whatever, school lunches or, you know, it's terrorism almost. One step sort of terrorism.
Well, it's gross negligence. It's willful, wanton, and reckless. It rises to the level of what we call deliberate intent.
Yeah.
You had to have known how bad this was going to be, and that means you pretty much did it on purpose.
Yeah, right, they did. Well, changing gears, the cinema thing, are you surprised? No.
Well, like I said, you know? I sometime in the last 4 weeks, I predicted this possibility.
Yeah, that just goes to show how much we needed to get that third seat. And, you know, that Mandela Barnes race was winnable. And I'm not sure they did their homework there on that race. You know, that was a pretty close race, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mandela Barnes was up at one point, but there was a massive ad campaign that used everything but the N-word.
I know. I heard
The one that really galls my gut, and it's not because he was some sort of future member of the most progressive Democratic senators, but Tim Ryan could have won.
Yeah, I was amazed how much he got beat by. He lost by like 5 points, right, or something, right?
Yeah,
5%.
Yeah, 5%? Yeah, because he got hung out to dry.
Right. This guy, I'm like, this guy is the real deal. That picture on the train, or what was it, the train or the bus with his daughter?
Yeah.
He goes, left it all on the field. You know, that picture?
Yeah.
Like, what a picture that was, you know? And, I mean, this guy should be senator. I mean, he's the real deal, you know? And, yeah.
And instead, for six years, we're going to have to listen to Jerk Deluxe fake hillbilly grunting and hooting and burbling and groaning about how America has to live, you know, poor people absolutely living on the edge, need to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps the way he did.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't.
Well, I just pulled in. I gotta get out of my car and head upstairs. I'll catch up with you later in the show. And
okay, say hi to Tracy for us. And my God, that woman can make a pizza.
Oh yeah, right. It was. She's getting really. She really knows how to make one. Made a boiled dinner tonight, I believe.
Yummy.
I got a corned beef that was in the freezer. I noticed, and just yeah. Well, we'll snap some pictures.
Sounds good. All right, catch up when you can.
I'll catch up with you later in the show tonight.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, bye.
All right. Hey, Steve. I see you're in the group.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Hey, you know what? I was listening to the stuff about Flint. And I think we need to make sure that we disperse our anger around. And I understand being angry at the courts and the judge, but I suspect we probably should reserve our fair ire for the legislature, because I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of immunity for the governor, et cetera, in that case.
Well, I mean, Rick Snyder was the governor.
No, that's what I mean.
He got the whole ball rolling with his dodgy manager's program.
No, I understand. But I suspect that the legislature put in an immunity provision in any law that forced the court to do what it did. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. By the way, soccer's not a sport. Okay.
I knew you were going to go there. Oh, my God, people are going to get so mad.
And let them get mad. No fucking sport determines its champion on penalty kicks. So.
Well, remember, but you know, the NFL used to have the overtime where, you know, one didn't matter if the other side got the ball or not, one field goal and you're done.
Yeah, and they got rid of that.
Took a while.
But even so, they still had to play for it. I freely admit, I am biased against that soccer, and I would much rather watch paint dry. Anyway. Where is everybody tonight?
I don't know. Christmas parties, maybe?
Well, apparently Sparky is gallivanting around the California coal gold country, and rumor has it that he's not by himself.
Well, that's good.
So he's hanging out with an SLF.
Sparky met a nice woman, his own age, and he's visiting her.
He's hanging out with us now. Now, as to the soccer games today, they were both incredibly good games. And nobody who likes soccer really likes the penalty kicks. And I agree it's kind of a screwy way to end a game. But you got to realize they played two 45-minute halves. They were tied. And then they go into a second 30-minute period divided into two 15-minute halves.
Yeah, and?
And if they're still tied at the end of that, then they go to the penalty kicks.
Yeah, and?
Which is a lousy way to end a game. But the games were fantastic. If that game had gone, the second game with Argentina had gone longer, I would not have been in here to try and take care of brain or something else. I would have been glued to the TV to watch the end of the game. Unfortunately, Argentina had that game won until the last 10 minutes, and then they fell apart. And they fell apart because the opposing team put in some really big muscle and
took them forwards.
And Argentina had already used all their substitutions, so they couldn't bring height into their defense at the very end. And it was a brilliantly played and coached, masterminded game. And so some people don't like basketball, some people don't like football, and some people don't like soccer. But, hey, each to their own. I mean, soccer is the most popular sport in the world.
I just don't think it's a sport.
No, I don't think
well,
you,
we
I don't,
can argue
I don't think,
about
I,
whether
I don't,
golf's a sport either.
I don't think you get a vote in that, Steve.
Well, that's fine. But in the Steve universe, in Stevie Land, I get to say that. There's only 1.5 sports in the world.
Hockey's one.
Yep. And rugby gets close. Baseball's not a sport. I like baseball, it's not a sport. Soccer is just a game for a bunch of people to run around and look at each other and I might get a yellow card or I might get a red card. Ooh, and I got a hangnail and that's a penalty. Basketball is not a sport. Not saying I don't like some of these things, but, you know, checkers is not a sport, but I like to play checkers. I'd much rather watch paint dry than watch that, than watch soccer. And just because the majority of the world likes it doesn't mean shit. Majority of the world thought the earth was flat at one point.
That don't watch it. If you don't want to get gay married, don't get gay married. If you want to get heterosexual married, get heterosexual married. Whatever floats your boat.
I'm just saying it's not a sport.
But no sense putting other people down about it.
I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying it's not a sport. And any game that determines a champion based on freaking penalty kicks, what are you kidding me? You keep going until someone scores. That's what a real sport does.
Well, you've forgotten about the 120 minutes that they played to a tie.
I don't care, Roger.
Prior to it.
Easy, hockey, Steve. Breathe, buddy.
No, I know. Hockey goes until someone scores. Whether it's two overtimes, three overtimes, four overtimes, five overtimes.
Yeah, in baseball, you play until somebody wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe instead of penalty kicks, you could have like judges at a table, and the teams could be judged on like style points, like in gymnastics and you know, what?
I think they should. I think
ice,
the way
figure skating.
I was just saying the way. I mean, it would be more athletic, right, than it is right now if they determined who won by who has the better looking uniforms.
There have been some great uniforms.
Great uniforms. I mean, I like the Brazilian uniforms, and I'm actually partial because my partner's from Brazil. But and Brazil got their.
I like the blue and white vertical stripes of Argentina. Vertical stripes can be very slimming.
I'm sorry, I had a really sexist thought go through my mind, and I won't say it.
Oh, why not?
I'm going to say it's spoken like a true woman.
Yes, absolutely. I judge automobiles based on color now. What are you talking about?
Uh,
course, I feel the same way about languages. Like, there's certain languages I can't listen to. But I'm biased. I admit it, I'm biased. But what stinks about someone like me is that my biases are correct. They're not just biases. Okay, I'm going to shut up because I have a feeling I'm stifling debates or stifling discussions.
Well,
speaking of biases, I had a thought that came to me that had to do with this idea the Jews will not replace us.
Yeah, Charlottesville, theme, August 17th.
All the rest of that. Yeah, and all that stuff that's going on. And it occurred to me that these are coming from the very right-wing, racist, hardcore MAGA type folk. And I was wondering why. And I don't know whether this is true or not, but it came to mind that they've already agreed that they can discriminate against people of darker skin color, whether they be our historic blacks or whether they be the Latin Americans or whether they be the indigenous peoples of the United States. Anybody whose skin isn't lily white, we all agree that we can discriminate. And I'm speaking as a MAGA type person. But the problem with the Jews is that they've got white skins just like we do. And so now we need to make sure that in order to add them into the pile of people that we discriminate against, we need to point them out to be able to other them the way we naturally other the other people. And I just kind of wonder if this isn't more of just putting the lily-white Northern European, although the Ashkenazi Jews are very white and European, and trying to get them. In other words, reduce the number of us pure lily white people by getting them othered, and so we can get more of the capitalist pie into our own pocket. Did I make any sense at all with that?
Yeah, but the Jews killed Jesus.
Stop that. I get it. That's how they think.
That's how they think.
Yeah, it's like like when the handmaid in the 303 Designs case said, you know, a Christian group or Catholics. It's in that same family because, like I said, when it happened, the Southern Baptists and the Church of Christers were going, see, we've been telling you all along. She even says so. And by the way, we are approaching the 7 o'clock hour, at least we're approaching the third hour of the program. And we got $440 to go for a community-made miracle. And we've had a lot of miracles this week. And that's why we're as close to actually being fully funded as we are. As it stands, the only thing unfunded is today and $160 of yesterday. That's amazing. We haven't seen that in a while. But if we can knock it down further, I'll breathe a little easier because I'm not breathing easy at all right now for a variety of reasons. Let me check the mail real quick. Let's see. Theo. Hey, Theo. Robin, you mentioned Jim Jacketoff, Jordan, and Leek multiple times in close proximity, and now I've got a deliciously vulgar image in my naughty little head, which I know won't go away soon. Well, this is a full-service radio program, Theo, and we are always happy to help. Dave and the Blind with a Today in History for us. Today is the anniversary of the founding of the John Birch Society. Just think about it. No John Birch Society, no John Birch Society report. The Koch brothers and the U-Line people would have been using their money somewhere else. And there would have been no tea party without the John Birch Society. Well, down that rabbit hole we go. Dave says, I apologize on behalf of the entire city of Indianapolis where it was founded. P.S. Fuck that idiot senator from Arizona, and by that I mean that woman who can't seem to do anything properly. Mark my words, folks, she's going to become a Green Party fuckhead again. Or, God forbid, a Republican. Thank God I'm an atheist. Your buddy Dave in the Blind. Green Party. Jill Effenstein. That's all I think. Every time somebody says Green Party, that's all I think, is Jill Effenstein. Meanwhile, our buddy John in Central PA says, Elon Musk, Matt Taibbi, and Barry Weiss are stoking a civil war in the U.S. They're waging a campaign against Biden by using Twitter to sow further doubt about Biden's win and the election of 2020. Napoleon Bonaparte should never have been allowed to buy Twitter. What a calamity. What a calamity. Well, yeah, Matt Taibbi decided to jump into bed with Napoleon Bonaparte. And then there's Barry Weiss, and, you know, she's just a little white supremacist fangirl, which is just so weird because she's Jewish. But then again, there were capos and there were Sonderkommandos, and well, there you are. Ron in Raleigh, Jackson, Mississippi. It seems that poisoning black children is a pastime for Republican politicians. Governor Taint Reeves, that's Colonel Governor Taint Reeves, didn't spend the money allocated to repair the city of Jackson's water system. He needed that money for other projects. And Ron adds, not a sport? You want to know what's not a sport? Cheerleading's not a sport. It's a competition. It does, it's tumbling. And it requires massive amounts of coordination and athletic skill. And sport is curling a sport? Is cross-country skiing and then shooting targets with a 22 rifle sport? What is that, the biathlon? Biathletes would disagree. Is golf a sport? And Roger asked that earlier. I personally think it's certainly a skill. And if you walk the course, you know what Mark Twain said. Golf is a good walk ruined. And, thank you for that, Randy Radar. The New Zealand All Blacks of rugby have ultra-slimming uniforms. Maybe I need to get a jersey. You gotta have a little something to help create the illusion of a waistline. Funny that way. And a bit of an update, because the information keeps coming out. There was a story a couple of days ago. The Austin Lee Edwards, who left North Chesterfield, Virginia, and drove across the country after catfishing a 15-year-old girl into thinking he was a 17-year-old boy, and went to Riverside, California, murdered her grandparents and her mama, and made the 15-year-old and her sister orphans, and then kidnapped the 15-year-old. Well, there have been some developments in the case. The Riverside cops now say, No, he did not die in a shootout with the Riverside cops. He blew his own brains out. I'm still waiting for him to show up as a hero on the incel forums. And now law enforcement officials in Virginia are saying that, we kind of screwed up and let him into law enforcement. It was a matter of human error. Dude had a habit of making threats, and there was that was on the books when he signed up to be a member of the Virginia State Police, and they said, come on in. They missed that. But now this is looking dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And remember, of course, that the Virginia State Police operates under the aegis of the governor of Virginia. It's an administrative branch of the governor of Virginia. And the governor of Virginia is a sleazy, slimy, he's a maggot who knows which forks to use with the shrimp versus the oysters. You know, the little bitty ones. Um, No, the dirty stuff has come out. The Washington County Sheriff's Office, where Austin Lee Edwards was employed, has apparently been stone cold busted because there is video of the Washington County Sheriff's Department showing up at the home of Austin Lee Edwards and driving a truck away that was parked there, as well as removing a black garbage, a black trash bag that contained unknown items. He had a white Cape Cod style home with blacked out windows. Well, there's a clue. And two deputies showed up at the home late on November 25th, the same day as the kill, as the murders. Riverside police were a bit surprised. They said, "We're not aware of any action taken at his house prior to the November 26th search warrant. We're not aware of any additional searches." Well, maybe they weren't supposed to be, but the 42-second video shows two people next to the house. One of them's holding what appears to be a flashlight in one hand and the black trash bag in the other. They then both walk away from the house. The witness said the two deputies drove off separately, one in a patrol car and the other in a Washington County Sheriff's Office truck that had been parked in Edwards' driveway for days. And two law enforcement officers, unnamed, who are at least familiar with the matter, said, yeah, they recognize both of the sheriff's deputies. So this leads to, a fair question. What were they taking away from the scene? I mean, if it was his gun belt and his badge and his uniform and stuff, Why wouldn't you wait until November the 20th, until the search warrant's executed? This thing, well, you know that old saying, the more you stir it, the more it stinks. This thing stinks to high heaven. And what they said in total, in regard to hiring this little monster, was that it was human error, because 5 years before he became a law enforcement officer, back in 2016, Austin Lee Edwards was actually detained for a psychiatric eval after he threatened to kill both his daddy and himself. He cut his hand, and emergency med techs called police to restrain him. A magistrate issued an emergency custody order, and that got him into the psych eval, and he was detained. Virginia State Police spokeswoman Corinne Geller said,
we would never have hired him if we'd have known about his psychiatric detention. Oh, heavenly days.
So eventually, I suspect, we will find out the nature of his catfishing. But God. Note coming from Christopher. Weekend visitor. Hi, all listening in today. We have family, friends in from Chicago this weekend. Steve, I still hold you responsible for J.D. Vance, and tell me the difference, please, between a hockey shootout and a penalty kick round. I find them indistinguishable. Oh, Christopher, stop helping.
I'm going to tell you why. Hockey shootouts don't determine championships. In the Stanley Cup tournament, it's sudden death. That's the difference.
Play till somebody scores.
You play till somebody scores. Shootouts are only during the regular season.
makes sense. I mean, at least somebody wins. I mean, geez, the way that, look at the Big 12 championship game between TCU and K-State. What was his name? Max Wagner? Was it Wagner? Okay. That kid played his heart out. Picked the whole team up and put it on his back and carried it into the end zone. And then got down there in overtime. And son of a gun. Lousy play calling, and they couldn't get it into the end zone, and they went for it on fourth down, and then K-State kicked a field goal and won. A victory, I suppose, is a victory. I really do wonder where everybody is this evening. I mean, I know Sparky, but and Christopher's got family.
By the way, you may be surprised to know that I do not think that Ohio State should be in the playoff.
Do you really?
Yep.
Who would you have there instead? Clemson?
Oh, that's the problem this year. Is like you had teams that kind of backed in. You had a bunch of teams that you had a bunch of teams that shouldn't have been there. And then, I mean, based only on the numbers, I guess, who else would be?
Well, that's the thing. If it's not Ohio State, who the hell is it?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they have any business being there. This is why they need to get...
Well, I mean, so should it be USC?
I don't know who it should be. I just know who it shouldn't be.
Because USC... sort of blew their chances by getting their ass. I mean, they didn't just lose to Utah.
I was just going to say that.
They got beat like they owed Utah money. And, you know, I guess Bama had a case to make, but this was not their year. I mean, I watched all season long. It's like that wasn't even a Nick Saban team.
You know what? I completely agree with you. I remember watching and I think you and I kind of texted about that. It was like when they got 17 penalties in that game against Tennessee, I was like, this ain't a Nick Saban team.
Well, when I watched them play Texas and pretty much get their ass beaten and only lose at the very win at the very end, they had 16 penalties that game.
Yeah, there's just, yeah.
And that is so not Alabama.
Yeah. And they hadn't, that was not the anomaly this year.
And then to lose to LSU, that's not to say LSU sucked, but I mean, we kind of watched the SEC championship, didn't we?
Yeah. The fact that Brian Kelly's the coach, as far as I'm concerned, makes them nothing but Notre Dame South.
No argument. But you know who's suffering right now? Our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor. Because Joy is a proud daughter of TCU. But she lives in Ann Arbor, and she loves her Wolverines, mm-hmm. And so those two are squaring off in the first round of the playoffs, and there is nothing worse than a heart divided against itself.
Right.
I have a feeling she'll eventually come down for the Frogs, but
I bet you can't guess who I'm rooting for.
Oh, I bet I can. You're ribbiting for all you're worth, even though Horned Frogs don't ribbit.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know what? And I don't know if I told you this. My my vitriol, at least currently, has everything to do with the coach. I do not like Jim Harbaugh.
No, I know. No, no. It's a family thing.
Yeah, because the way his aunt treated me.
Well, I gotta tell you, I feel fairly confident that Georgia will handle the Ohio State University.
Oh, I agree. Although, you know what, here's something funny. I was at a place, and they had some Georgia game on a few weeks ago, and there was a woman there who was a Georgia fan, and she said to me, she says, the only team that worries me is Ohio State, which, you know, surprised me a little bit, and particularly surprised me after the disaster at the game. But look, that's what's fun about college ball, is that sometimes, you know, teams you don't expect to win do.
Right, but and the other side of that coin is that the way Michigan looked playing the Ohio State University, you know, in the horseshoe.
Yeah, they looked really good.
And
no doubt about it.
If they make it past TCU, Georgia's going to have all it can stand.
I agree. Although, if Harbaugh's pass is any prologue, he'll fold like a cheap coat against anybody good.
Well, I mean, I don't think he exactly played a marshmallow schedule, do you?
Yes.
Really?
Look at their first three games as non-conference games.
Yeah, but everybody gets to do that.
No, but they were on a level. I mean, he played Hawaii, Connecticut, and South Dakota State. And that was one of the big things people were talking about, is how horrible his, you know, non-conference games were.
Well, he knows better than to schedule Appalachian State. Sorry,
every time
couldn't resist.
No, I completely. Anytime I hear a TTUN person say to me, I always say, yeah, but let me give you two words. Appalachian State.
It blows my mind, because it's a long time ago now. It blows my mind to think that Rich Rod and Big Hair Rita actually were up there for a while. He could have been a god in Morgantown. He already was, but he kind of had to clear out, because he couldn't keep his fly zipped. And then he went up to Ann Arbor and did the same shit again.
Hey, Robin.
Scott, how are you, buddy? I was thinking of you.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt what you and Steve were talking about. I just wanted to check in, and I wasn't able to do it when you mentioned to the Horn family about what's going on, but you didn't really mention, because you don't really know, I guess.
No, I don't really know, and I didn't want to speculate or get into anything that was private for you. But
no, it's by now. Is anything private regarding me? I mean, come on. My life is an open book. It's not like those $2.98 books, the encyclopedia that you collect by the month or whatever, and every month a new volume.
I was thinking more about the right-wing ghost-written memoirs that are cut out at Dollar Tree from, right-wing somebodies.
There you go. But anyway, in a nutshell, boys and girls, here's what the deal is. About almost exactly a week ago, I guess, or Monday anyway, I was mentioned to Robin, or to somebody, that I was having an onset of sciatica, which is basically
the nerve
that runs down the leg and it goes into the buttock and all this happy crap. And it was giving me fits. So there's no way I could sit comfortably, stand comfortably, recline comfortably, or do anything comfortably. So finally, I consulted with my older brother back in Virginia. This would have been like Tuesday of this week. And I said, you know, I live alone. I'm not, the use of my legs basically have gone away. I have not been standing upright since like Tuesday in the daytime. And I was in the midst of doing something, and I went like a fucking down like Frazier, if you know that expression from sports.
Down goes so, Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Well, I certainly did. So anyway, what is going to happen is it was supposed to happen today, but I just couldn't get it all pulled together. Tomorrow morning, the ambulance is going to take me to the hospital, and I'm going to advocate, and my brother's going to advocate, that whatever's causing me not to be able to get up and walk. I mean, I don't want a Lazarus come forth quality miracle, because those will cost me. I just want to get up and do
smelly what too.
To do. Oh God, yeah, he stinketh, I believe is the word. But anyway, that in a nutshell is what's happening in my drab, wretched world. So how's by you?
I hate to hear that, and hopefully your brother will advocate and you'll advocate. And I'm going to resist the urge to. Well, no, I'm not. Tell him you want a CT scan.
Oh yeah, that's
or an MRI.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's. We're going to tag team those fuckers to the point of submission.
And if Tracy were here, she would tell you, Scott, make sure you go to the hospital in the gentrified area.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is it's going to be gentrified, all right.
But so anyway, is the pain that you were describing as sciatica still there?
It comes and it goes. See, right now I'm not even, I can, you know, it's like the old saying goes, a little pain never hurt anybody. I can deal with a little pain at this point, but I cannot deal with literally being flat on my back with some movement to take care of basic, ordinary, necessary things within reason. That part doesn't work for me. I would rather have a little pain ongoing, upright, and walking around than where I'm at now, because I'm not doing myself or anybody else any good. And I probably sound funny because I guess my uvula or something is, you know, not where it is because I am
prone,
horizontal and not vertical. Did I even answer your question?
Yeah, you did. The other thing, and I don't know if it would even show up on a CT or an MRI, whether you might have some degree of compromise of blood flow down into your legs, because that can be horribly painful.
Yeah, but I having had the sciatica before, I was pretty clear on what the deal was. It's like it's one of those unmistakable things. Like whenever Mitch McConnell shows up behind a bank of microphones, you know it's not going to be happy talk.
No, I'm guessing not.
Maybe that's not a good analogy, but.
Scott, have you considered chiropractic therapy?
No.
Well, talk to your brother about it. They're popping up here like. Everywhere, like $20 chiropractic for your first session.
Is this where they come in and sing to the injury, or how does that work exactly?
No, they know how to align your back, and I've got severe rheumatoid arthritis, and it helps me tremendously. Every adjustment is like a high, you know.
Well, other people pronounce it chiropractor instead of chiropractor.
Well, I don't know how I said it, but he gets the gist of it, but it worked for me. It works for me. I go at least once a week.
All right. Well, I'll go by.
Just throw that. Well, throw the suggestion hat. Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling you to go do it. Run it by your brother and, you know, a DO or a doctor, and see what they say. What's it going to hurt?
The main part of the situation that kind of makes that a secondary option for me is, I don't know that chiropractors make house calls. And even if they did, I'm not sure that there's anything in their bag of tricks and their
You are flat out non-mobile. When the ambulance comes tomorrow, they will come into your bedroom and put you on the gurney and take you out. Do I understand correctly?
No, because I'm in the living room.
Oh, okay.
You're not even ambulatory then. Jesus, you're flat.
Yeah, wow. I basically, my function tomorrow, I've got two things left on my things to do list. One of the things is to pack my hospital bag with, you know, the necessary clothing and, you know, toothbrush, hairbrush, all that happy crap, toothpaste, and my medicines that I usually take. Have that ready to go by the door. And the other thing is to have me ready to go. And I asked my brother, I said, but do you think that I should even attempt taking a shower? And he said, no, for God's sake, no, because it'll literally be one of those falling and I can't get up sort of deals.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, the question is, are you going to go in black tie and tails?
No, I thought I would wear a... My dad did... Was
sequined cocktail gown?
No, he did a half-man, half-woman costume for Halloween one year. And I wish I still had the pictures. I mean, it was... On one side, you cover the male side with your hand, and he's just stunning. And then you cover the lady side with your hand, and he's a handsome young man. I'm telling you, there's weirdness that goes way back in my family, Robin. If you wondered where I ever got it from.
Well, there's got to be some Aunt Effie in here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, basically, what I'm going to do, getting back to this adventure tomorrow, is have my bag packed and ready to go. Basically have the doors unlocked so that they don't have to take an axe to anything, up to and including me. And basically they'll either come in, put me on the board and take the board out to the stretcher because of the configuration of the entryway, or they'll be able to get the stretcher in, get me on it, get it out. I'll hand them the key. They can lock the door and give me the key back, and off we go.
Well, if they can get you back on your feet with medicinal and PT therapy, and can put chiropractic therapy in the future bag to keep you from getting back in this shape again.
Yeah, that's probably the way would be the best.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm dealing with basic shit like functioning.
Now, I've been probably over 1,000 times, and you know, I'm sure they have hurt people, but I've never had one hurt me. It's always been a positive experience for me personally.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone. I know my dad did, and I know my ex-wife did, and they swear by it. So I know there's something to what they do. I just don't.
Right, but right now you're in such a state that you need medicinal and probably physical therapy to get you back to a point where you can at least go to start chiropractic therapy is my
Well, the hell of it, Steve, is, and Robin kind of alluded to it. I'm only saying that it's originally I thought it was sciatica because I'd had that before. It could be a blood flow thing. It could be something organic elsewhere.
Could have herniated a disc long time ago.
Could be anything, you know.
Yeah, yep.
And this is, I mean, science has come a long way, but it's still sort of a guessing game and a process of elimination, isn't it?
Well, the fact of the matter is, Scott, the two most brilliant people the two most brilliant men who have ever lived in the United States were Ben Franklin and Mark Twain. It was Mark Twain who said back in the Gilded Age, which he named the Gilded Age, you know, he said, despite the enlightened age in which we live, when they pass each other on the street, doctors and undertakers still wink at each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I doubt that'll ever change.
I remember in first year torts in law school, our grizzled old torts professor said, "Now listen here. Doctors are the only people on earth who get to bury their mistakes."
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, come on.
But if you think where we've come from, Civil War, you know, medicinal therapy, to where we are now, that kind of gives you hope. Yep. I mean, back then it was just brutal. I mean,
oh yeah, brutal. Yeah. You're right.
And cauterizing and amputating. You know, I don't even want to go there, man.
You know what they need? You know what the patient needs? A little bleeding. Bleed them a little bit.
Yeah,
bleed out. Yeah.
Bring leeches.
That was a thing. Yeah, they blood let you. Yeah, that was a
well,
thing.
Whether I can walk or not, I'll roll out of the motherfucker. The first leech I see in a jar up on a shelf, I'm getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, start raising.
Hey, Scott, you're of a certain age. You remember John Belushi and Steve Martin and Theodoric of York, medieval barber?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Scott, I wish you the best, my friend. You have my number. If you're in there and you get lonely, call me, man.
Well,
the loneliness can be a drag in the hospital. It really can.
Well, I don't. There are too many unknowns. I don't know how long I'm going to be in there. What I definitely want to do is advocate for myself, and my brother's willing to do it in concert with me via phone since he's way back east. Is basically when I get there tomorrow, and they're going to do whatever tests and scans and shit that they do, I'm going to say, if you have if you have a sense of what needs to be done, I would much rather it be done immediately without a second trip, only because of my circumstances. I don't.
Well, right. Stand not upon the order of your doing, but do it once.
Yes, basically, yeah. You put it much better than I do.
Scott, do you have traditional Medicare, or are you on one of those Jimmy Walker plans?
No,
stop it! That oh my!
I have a pretty good plan.
Good. Well, worst case scenario, 80% is covered. Then.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Yep.
Oh Jesus! Everybody's getting into it now, Scott. Randy Radar just said Scott needs. Wait a minute, we got to have an accent for this. Scott needs a mustard plaster.
There you go. There you go.
I bet you Aunt Effie would give you a mustard plaster.
They swore by that shit in those days. They did. I mean,
tonics and all kind of crazy shit. Yeah.
Cold baths and wraps and liniments and goose grease.
Enemas and all kind of crap.
Oh dear God, the road to Wellville. Don't go there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Great movie, by the way. Oh, gosh.
Electrification of your naughty bits. I mean, they had another sort of odd soundtrack and a stellar cast besides. But anyway, I don't want to make this all about me. I just.
We want it to be all about you.
Well, I appreciate
that. Gosh, man. Yeah. Keep us posted. Keep me posted. You got my digits.
Yeah. I sure do. But anyway, I don't, I'm sure there's, I'm one of those metaphysical people who thinks, well, there's good that comes out of nearly everything, and I'm sure there's a lesson to be obtained by me.
You'll probably meet a lot of interesting folks, you know, with your personality and all. There's a lot of interesting folks at the hospital.
Scott, I love you, but Steve talking about meeting interesting people at the hospital. Leave the whoopee cushion and the joy buzzer at home, okay?
And the dribble glass.
No, you don't want to bunk them.
And the fake dog shit and the vomit. There'd be enough of that that's real. You know, I don't have anything to do with
it. And Scott?
Yes, sir.
If you meet anybody who claims that they're Jesus or John the Baptist, those are not the interesting people you want
to
meet.
Oh no, I know enough about them to avoid them at all costs.
No, the only thing you say to them, Scott, is how nice.
Yes, I think there's a lady down the hall there on the left. I think she's just aching for a visit from you.
Oh, you say, bless your heart.
Yes.
Well, Scott is a Virginian, so he speaks the language.
Jack has his hand up, by the way.
Oh, hey, Jack.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'm just going to, I wanted to jump in real quick just on my status. I'm Skyping on my iPhone, which I don't really know how to use that well. But my laptop, I don't know if anybody remembers bitching about my keyboard not working well.
Yeah.
Anyway, this past weekend, I lost my whole hard drive and, you know, it went from kind of, I was trying to make backups and it would air off. And then finally the whole thing died and I ordered a new laptop and it just got here this morning, but I haven't been able to, you know, I don't know how many passwords and all that, you know, crap I can get from backups. And so anyway, I managed to find my Skype password. And so, you know, I don't know when I'll be back on Twitter. I got to get my email working and PayPal and all that. But I wanted to hear the show today. And luckily I go, oh, yeah, I'll try my iPhone. And it's loud, you know. And
you sound great.
So I've been able to hear it. There was something weird with Skype where it said the speaker is off, but I could barely hear it. And I don't know how to get to various options, so I'm just, you know, clicking around. And finally, I found something to make it louder. So anyway, lots of political crap going on, but I just couldn't get in clear. So if you don't hear from me on Twitter or anything, you know, that's what's going on.
Jack, were you able to get back in on your own profile? I mean, if you can do that, I mean, it's very seamless. If you utilize Chrome, they keep all your passwords, everything, you know?
Well, I use Safari and Firefox.
Oh, okay.
But there's a password, I didn't use the iCloud, you know, I didn't have everything in common with my iPhone and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's various things you know, on the backups, but you know, there's so much, you know, information.
I don't want this to turn into tech talk, but are you utilizing a Windows system?
No,
it's Mac.
Oh, okay.
I can I'm hearing all of the buzzwords. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't have an Apple ID and you didn't put everything into iCloud.
No, because I was kind of in the midst of reorganizing and rehearing stuff. You know, this is a new iPhone. Although I'm way, way behind in setting it up. My previous one, you know, I wouldn't do the 5G. So I'm still learning to use the iPhone. But it's just, you know, I got to see how much, you know, I was able to get into a backup and stuff. So it's, you know.
If you had iCloud, you wouldn't have to worry about any of this.
Well,
if you utilized iCloud.
Right. I just didn't get I just wasn't ready to put a whole bunch of stuff on there because there was too much crap on my laptop, my broken laptop. It was the solid state drive was almost full and there was a whole bunch of, you know, just all kinds of crap. I couldn't get it. I mean, it was just slowly, you know, kind of just breaking, and it just broke really bad just a little bit before I got my new computer and could move stuff over, you know. So it's just going to be a little more difficult. But yeah, no, I know what you mean about using the iCloud.
I got a dumb question. Okay, before I ask my dumb question, we got some mail. Billable Rick says, cowbell for Steve from Georgistan. Do you have Medicare or are you on one of those Jimmy Walker plans? I agree entirely. So that's yours, Steve. Tom and Sunny San Rafael, and thanks for the setup at the end, Tom. Scott, oh no, Scott, not sciatica. I had a bad case about 12 years ago. It gave me an all-new reference point for that 1 to 10 pain scale they ask about at the doctor. After 5 months, I got an MRI, and soon after that, back surgery, which was a lifesaver. Good luck with it, and in the immortal words of Bill Clinton, I feel your pain.
Okay, who was that again?
Yeah, that was Tom and Sunny San Rafael.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I will take those words to heart.
And thank you, Tom, for the opportunity to do my cheap and cheesy Bill Clinton impression. I feel your pain. And if we were on video right now, you would know that I'm standing here talking with my thumb standing straight up right in front of my face. I feel your pain.
And there'd be a little lip quiver going on as well.
How did you know?
Well, I was alive and well and upright in the 90s, whereas now I'm alive and well and flat on my ass.
Prone in the 20s.
Yes. If I could get a cut-rate magician in here, the great Zambini or whatever, to levitate me and float me into the other room, I'd be delighted. That would be a step, well, not a step, more, it'd be more or less a float, a drift.
Well, you know, I mean, there's this conversation, I cannot help but note, is lacking insofar as there's no coffee cup noise. And that's just wrong.
Robin.
Yeah.
There are so many things that you cannot do from the floor or crawling around or even up on your knees. One of the things is to reach the shelf in the cabinet, and I'm going to remedy this after all this is over. You can't reach the shelf where the coffee supplies are. You can't reach the other shelf where the coffee filters are. Hell, you can't even reach the top of the stove where the coffee maker sits between the two sets of burners.
Damn, I'm amazed. I'm amazed you're even talking to us just from the caffeine withdrawal.
Well, luckily I have Pepsi and Coke, but that's not the same. But
no,
you know, it'll get me done in short order. You know. But yeah, there's a lot of things missing. There's the fact that, you know, I'm not sitting in my squeaky recliner hunched over a laptop. I can't do a laptop from a prone position. I don't care where I put it and how I position myself. It's just laptops were, yeah, you can do them if you're sitting and they're right there on your lap, but that would involve a chair. And the last chair I sat in was Tuesday, I guess, or Monday night, whatever. I guess it was Tuesday evening. I put the recliner all the way back, and apparently I hadn't distributed my ass portion correctly, and the chair went backwards on the back two legs. Now visualize this. I already know that I've been pained. I already know that I need to look into this, and then I'm like an astronaut. I'm like Scott Carpenter waiting to go up in the Mercury capsule back in 1962 or whatever the fuck it was, and I'm laying there with feet up in the air, head back, and I'm saying, "Do I really need this shit? I mean, did they throw this in as a bonus, like when you order the Jimmy Walker policy, they'll send you one of those floppy hats?" Or a dynamite t-shirt.
And I mean, bowl of soup.
Jesus. I mean, and the saving grace in this entire thing so far is some people do poor pitiful me. Yeah, I have elements of that in my life. But by God, if I can have some fun with it, even if it's a horrible, unpleasant, painful thing, I'll do the best I can to inject that little fun serum into it, because there's people way worse off than I am. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but we know that there are people in this Horn family who are suffering mightily with stuff that is not easily remedied.
Right. You need one of those Art Linkletter chairs. You know, those ones that like...
Yeah, well, and I'm going to add, just because I'm an old, before they were Art Linkletter chairs, because when I was a teenager and went into DMLA, they still had the ad for it strapped to the chair itself. It was an Edward G. Robinson chair.
Oh, my.
Before Art Linkletter was pitching it, Edward G. Robinson was.
I thought you were going to mention Bob Braun, the Cincinnati broadcaster.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember Bob O?
I absolutely remember Bob Braun, Mr. Geritol.
Oh, he pitched everything.
Yeah.
Actually, Steve, and anybody else that's interested in Cincinnati television, go to your YouTube thing and look up WLW 50th anniversary and related videos. There's a lot of great, they did great local programming.
Well, that's where you've heard Robin talk about the Kentucky Jelly.
Oh, the KYS.
Yeah, that's where that comes from.
Really?
Gary Burbank on WLW.
Well, I was talking about
Broadbank
TV.
Burbcasting Corporation.
Broadbank Burbcasting.
I was talking about TV back in the 60s.
You're older than everybody else.
Hey, Steve.
I'm kidding. Yes, sir. Ma'am. Sorry.
Stop. How's Mom and Em?
Well, I haven't seen my mom in almost 10 years, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But I was just, I was.
I know. But Scott, you need to look up these characters. What I'll do is maybe I'll email you a number of the characters that Gary used to.
You'd enjoy the hell out of it, Scott. But let me interrupt for a minute, because Clarence says Steve's right about the chiropractor suggestion. I have a sciatic problem too. The spine's a fascinating study. My sciatica mimicked having a stroke. My left arm and left leg go numb. Chiropractor found out I had issues with L5 and L3 in my lumbar. Alignment therapy did help. I wish you well with your recovery, Scott. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh says Scott needs a poultice made with feather moss and mustard root. Mind you drop water on it occasionally to keep it damp.
Do you hang it in a tree at night off a certain branch of a certain type of tree?
Under a full moon, yes, of course.
Okay, yeah.
What you need is a good bleeding.
And a little possum snot. Don't forget the possum snot.
Yeah, well, what you do, the go-to person for this is Granny Clampett.
Yes.
She knows all the home remedies.
Well, that and the weather cricket.
Yeah.
I have thank yous to send out, because we have not had a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle or gotten as close to it in quite some time. Thank you to Kevin and Tracy. Kevin and Tracy got us down to 390. And then Gino out in Utah got us down to, wait for this, 90. We are $90 away from a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Fully funded all the way up to this very day.
Weren't you like at 5-something?
Yeah.
It's just pretty quick work.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much, Gino. Thank you. I have a show on me is a big deal when a whole bunch of shows are unfunded. And so there will be, yay verily, bill paying going on. And that makes me very happy.
Well, I like you when you're happy. I like you when you're not that happy, but I like you when you're happy. And I like all you old folks. I mean, where else could I go and you know, talk about such things as I talk about here? Sometimes it's inventive, humorous stuff. Sometimes it's political stuff. Now it's just, hey, things right now in my life, are.
You know, even though it may be sciatica, you might get a little more mileage out of it if you refer to it as your lumbago.
Lumbago, yes. Didn't he have a band and they would play on New Year's?
Yeah, Guy Lumbago. And he's all.
Royal Arthritics. Yeah, limping along.
Guy Lumbago and the Royal Arthritics.
Yeah, there they go.
Damn, look at you. Don't even feel good and still funny.
And over on NBC, if you didn't like dance music, you could watch Ben Grala from the Allied Chemical Building talking about his ball that came down at the stroke of midnight. Jeez. And I don't know who ABC had. I guess that was in the days of rocking into New Year with Dick Clark or whoever.
Oh, dear God, New Year's rock. Dick Clark's rocking New Year's Eve. I remember years and years and years ago, Sandra and I went off one night on the idea that that was some sort of combination cybernetic holographic Dick Clark because he was 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. The world's oldest teenager. But anyway, just to finish my thought, where else can a body go to speak openly and honestly about troubled times? And to know that there are a group of people out there who say, we do feel your pain, and we're pulling for you, and bringing good ideas to the table, and just running the whole gamut of interacting appropriately. How little of that there is in the rest of the world. And we should be about making that catch on as a way of being in the world. So you fuckers, get off it and start doing right, or I'm going to beat you to within an inch of your life with a wet poultice, a slightly damp poultice, goddammit. You know?
Yeah, you don't want to get it too wet. It's sloppy. Hey, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just took us down to 70. And an anonymous friend says, if somebody kicks in $30, I'll kick in the last 60. So now it's, we're at 70. So if somebody kicks in 30, our anonymous 40. Friend will kick in 40. So we got 12 minutes to do $30. That's amazing. Thank you. And we will have a full blown Horn, community-made, Friday on the front porch, miracle.
Robin, ask your anonymous friend if I kick in the extra 10, if they'll count that as a 30.
I think you just did, so we'll find out. Oh, Jeremy, I said that maybe we were done with it, but there's been a couple of interesting ones lately.
Oh, God. Hopefully they're not life-threatening.
No, that's that. I wouldn't, yeah. When you put on your profile, say something. When you put on your profile something besides say hi,
and there's some cheesy music you're supposed to roll in the background.
Yes, there is. Hold on. and you got a yes from our anonymous friend Jeremy. Oh God, Robin's creepy sugar daddy hour. Our creepy sugar daddy show.
Our anonymous friend owes you money.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Great entertainment.
And so here, with 11 minutes and change to go, we have ourselves a sure enough Horn community-made Friday on the Front Porch miracle. That is simply amazing. We have not been funded like this in, I don't know, long damn time.
Now ruin it with the creepy music. Let's get on with it.
Okay. I stand by.
Oh yeah, I've got some great stories. Just nice.
This shit's so gross. Hey there. How are you doing tonight?
Really?
That's fine. There's another hay there. Looking good. Damn, you look pretty seductive. Would you like to chat more?
Pull down the background music a little, Robin.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I had it up there too much. We had a hey, and then another hey. God. And then there's Caleb, who says, oh dear Jesus, what's up, beautiful? Okay, that's better than hey, right? What's up, beautiful? I wonder how your lips around my boop would feel. I bet amazing, probably. Just the thought of you with me in your mouth gets me standing up like no other out there. Oh. Yeah, and there's like... There's like 10 of those a day.
Jesus.
You know, if that's what it takes to get people to stand up, I'm standing in...
Shut up!
I'm here,
that's part
I'm
of why
here,
I did it, though,
Lord.
Because of the stand-up reference.
I'm here, oh Lord, reclining in the need of lips. Write that down and send it into that old fellow down in Nashville, the publishing company, the music publisher, Fred C. Mills, or whatever the fuck his name was. I'm here.
Billable Rick says, since I can't get on the program tonight because of a bad Skype connection, I wanted to wish Scotty the best in getting the source of his own immobility problems resolved. Make sure that the doctors do both MRIs and CT scans on your back, since certain features are revealed in tests that aren't apparent on one test that aren't apparent on the other. As Matt in San Francisco mentioned, actually it was Tom and Sunny San Rafael, I suspect you may have to either have an epidural or back surgery. My thoughts will be with you in the coming days. Get well soon, buddy. Billable, that's so sweet. FYI, I'll try and get on the back porch in about an hour in my car. Better network reception there. And
you know, with the medical imaging that they can do now, a lot of places, after you've had your images done, they've been checked by the doctor and all, you can get a couple of... big ones, 8x12 in gold frames. You get some wallet size, and there's little dinky pictures for the cousins that you don't especially like.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then there's the one to send to mom and them.
You know, and the
and
one
then
that
ask
sat
her for
on
the DVD or the CD.
The one that sat on
is
the
this
piano.
Thing on?
The one that sat on the piano. The kidney looked like a pool. And there were people on it. It was incredible. But anyway. Go ahead.
You've damn sure got the right idea, right attitude for this. Hey, let's run over.
I'm not medicated. Can you imagine what that's going to be like?
Oh, I want you to call if you're really, you know,
ripped.
If you're really right. Let's go over and check in on the stress line real quick. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh my goodness,
Lady B.
You guys are a hot. Y'all are a hot mess. You know that.
Yes.
And you start talking about J.J. Dynamite Walker. I was like, oh, Lord. We got in for it.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, he's hawking stuff like that. So, no stellar television movie career for him right there. But I don't know. Scott was bringing up something. And best wishes to you, Scott. I hope it works out for you.
Thank you, Lady B.
Talking about how we can talk with y'all to share problems. And this is, it's a big problem, but it's not a life-threatening problem. It's not a health problem. And I don't even know how I feel about sharing it with y'all, but I don't know what else to do because I'm not even talking to my twin right now. And that's how bad I feel about this whole situation. And we talk all the time. But I had a problem with my car November 19th. My car, we were not giving them a free plug, but me and my neighbor had gone to Whataburger, which is one of the first few to open in Colorado Springs. And everybody talk about, oh, you got to have Whataburger. Okay. So we drove up north from my house, probably about 15 miles from my house. And we drove up there, We got the burger and fries and milkshakes, honey, because we was going full out, okay? And we got up there, and as I was leaving the drive-thru, and I mean, they were directing traffic, everything. It was absolutely insane how many people were up there. So as I was leaving the drive-thru, my steering wheel felt funny. You know, it was kind of loose. And I was like, oh, this doesn't feel right, Patty. Let me pull into this parking lot here, or this parking space, you know, and just see if it's something weird going on. I didn't know what it was. And I mean, if dash lights had come on, I can't really remember because I'm used to dash lights, okay? You know, it's like, oh, it is what it is. So I didn't feel anything different. So I put the car in reverse and I started to drive out of the air, you know, the thing. And then stupid me, for some reason, I was thinking of computers. And I was like, okay, let me do this. Let me turn the car off and turn it back on. And I should not have done that. Because as soon as I did that, the car would not start again. Lights would light up, radio would come on, but the car would not start up again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I was like, I don't know what it was in me, but I didn't think it was something I could get out there and jumpstart the battery. This was something else going on. This is an old car. This is a 2007. So I called AAA. Well, I called my twin, and she called AAA. And they came out, and they towed it to the last mechanic who laid hands on it. And that was a Saturday. And then Monday comes around, and they call me, hey, baby, your car is in, because that's what they call me. No, they don't call me that, but it doesn't matter. They said, your car is in our parking lot. You want us to look at it? I said, sure. Yes, obviously. So they called me an hour later and said, it's your alternator and it is your battery. They both need to be replaced and that'll be $980. And I was like, what the fuck? Right? I was like, what the fuck? And my cousin who was with me, because we had to go rent a car, because I figured whatever it was, it was going to take a while. He's like, no, I don't see that. I've got a friend. Let me call my friend. And so he called his friend. His friend knew a mechanic. And the guy's like, okay, just bring the car over to me. So I sent AAA back to that mechanic, to the first mechanic, and had them tow it to the second guy. Second guy didn't work on Monday. So he came out there to the car. Car's unlocked. Okay, no big deal. I don't have anything in there. But the key is stuck in the ignition. Yeah, he tries turning it like everybody else. It will not move. It is stuck. It is stuck. It will not move. So he said, so what I did next was I said, something's really wrong. So I went around the front. I popped the hood. And he said, your electrical system's fried. And I was like, oh, wow, that sucks. He said, I'm not going to touch it. What you need to do is get back in touch with the first mechanic and or AAA. So I got back in touch with the first mechanic, and they told me, oh, no, honey, we jumped it to get in the garage, and then when you said you didn't want to pay that much money, because he said $600, he could take care of everything. So, of course, I'm going to go to him. But anyway, so the second people said, we jumped it to get out of the garage, and that was it. We handed the keys over to AAA. And that was the last time we had to deal with it. So it has been almost 3 weeks of an absolute nightmare. I've called AAA every day because I'm like a Karen, okay? A pit bull, okay? If it's something, somebody else's problem, I'm going to make sure somebody else pays for it. I could not get a hold of anybody.
God.
I mean, you know, well, and the beauty is, and I'm going to throw this term at you guys. There's a term, and it's called nominative determination. Do you know what that is, Robin?
Say again, please.
Nominative determination. It has to do with your name. And some people have names that they live up to, or they feel an obligation to live up to. And I have a very dear friend, and his name is Gabe, which is short for Gabriel. And long story short, he is loaning me his car. It's actually his daughter's car. His wife works from home. So he is loaning me her car. It's an older, it's an electric vehicle. It's about 10, 12 years old, one of the older models. So I basically got to charge it every day, but I have a car because the rental car I had done 2 weeks and it was getting too expensive. And so I'm just like, okay. But anyway, back to the story. So hey, I called.
Lady B, can I jump in real quick with an observation?
Sure.
And I forget who said it, but you have given an example of it. At the moment of commitment, the universe conspires to assist you. You were committed to getting everything addressed correctly, and the universe is cooperating with your intentions. Didn't mean to get
caught. And that's a beautiful... No, and it's a beautiful sentiment. And there are a lot of me that wants to agree with it, but I kind of need to deal with that whole spiritual side later. Christmas is coming up.
I can't do much
for his family, but I make a banana pudding that people compare to crack. I mean, it's got cream cheese, everything.
Right?
And so he told me, if you make my family one of those, you'll be cool. I'm not satisfied with that. I always feel like there's more I can do for people who do so much for me. But that's right now what we're going on. My cool credit card. So if I'm going to get that family in the next time, it's just an incredible person. But anyway, long story short, I've not phoned with AAA for weeks. I've spoken to nobody of consequence. And the last person I spoke to Monday, she told me, how about this? This is what she said. We were all gung-ho. We were ready to go. She said, how about go ahead and get the guy who had the car couldn't fix it. He's a smaller shop. He was overwhelmed. We had a snowstorm a few weeks back. And I don't know how people did it, but maybe they messed up their batteries or whatever they did, because he's not a collision guy. He's a mechanic. But he had a whole backlog of cars. And he said, I can get to it, but it's going to take time. It's going to cost you some money. And I just can't get to it now. So I said, so when I was talking to the AAA lady, and this was just this past Monday, we were talking. And she said, okay, how about this? You go ahead and take it to the mechanic you want, and we'll go from there. And I said, okay, here's the one thing, though. I need this in writing. Well, I can't do that. It's going to take me 48 hours. I got to check with legal. All right, fine with me. I'm glad I said that. Because she called me Tuesday and said, legal said it's a common problem with HHRs. We can't touch it. I was like, wow, okay. So I told my friend, hey, and there's another guy I'm working with, Carl. He's one of my older cousins. He helped take care of him. And I told them what the lady said. They both did a Google search. And Gabe sent me some info saying the 2006, 2008, 2009, and 2010 HHRs have electrical problems. My car is a 2007. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, he sent it to me. So I called the Department of Transportation and Safety. I spoke to a woman, and she said, yeah, I don't see anything on here for 2007. We haven't really had a lot of reports about that. But I'll take the information down or whatever and pass it on to whatever. They're not going to help me. They just record the information. I made a complaint, so they recorded it. So I've been calling back AAA, and finally I just got that up. And there's a guy here, I won't mention his name, but he has a popular radio show. He calls, you know, if anybody's from Colorado, they know who he is. But his show is called The Troubleshooter. And he's one of those guys who helps you fix problems and you can't get help from anywhere else. And I was also thinking of filing a court case, which I'm still going to do. But he had me call into his show today. He kept asking me about the steering. And I told him, well, the steering, it's just weird. I can't describe it. It was just kind of weird. So he had two other guys on there pretending to be mechanics. And, they were like, yeah, that could have been XYZ, XYZ. And they're like, how about this? Have it, you know, where do you have the car now? I said, well, actually, the other day, a guy told me to tow it to Chevy. To have it towed to Chevy, you know, because I was telling him, if it's a problem, then Chevy needs to look at it. So he's like, when you get the estimate, call me back. So moving ahead here, the guy who told me to take it to Chevy, if it was a recall or anything, Chevy would know about it. And I'm like, I have never received any paperwork about my car since I bought it from my sister, who got it from my dad. None of it. I live in my dad's house. I still get his mail. I've not received anything regarding the problems with the 2007 Chevy electrical system. So I'm driving my friend's borrowed car. They're all talking about, oh, come on, Lady B, go out and we'll look at some cars. Da, 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 da. Here's one for $5,000. Well, boo. If you're making, you know, $600, you know, after taxes every 2 weeks, you don't have $5,000. And my twin can help me, but right now she's like trying to get her husband something because his car is 20 years old. And like a guy, he sat there, patched on it, fixed on it, duct taped it or whatever, but now it's not running anymore. So I know that she can help me and I know that she will, but right now it's just trying to get it fixed. And I guess I'll just have to see if I can make it another year until I can do better. But so anyway, that's what's been on my mind. That's what's been on my mind. Y'all still there or did I get hung
up?
Oh,
no, we're all still here. And it's just, you know, I know you and I were raised in similar traditions. And there's that whole thing about nothing will be ever given to you that you cannot handle, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
That's where you look up and go, I wish you would stop assuming I'm so damn strong.
Right? Maybe the Lord does think I'm strong, Robin, because there's a lot of people that I help. You know, and, you know, what they say, you should never expect thanks. But that's not what I do, because a lot of the people I help barely have a pot to piss in. They're older, they're on disability. So it's a lot of computer stuff and stuff that they need printed out and stuff like that. That's what I do. I help a lot of people. I do. And I'm not trying to get anybody to bend over and give me an award or, you know, not bend over. Jesus, what am I thinking? But, you know, I'm not asking anybody to bend over backwards and give me some type of special award for it. It's something that I do. It keeps me busy. It keeps my PTSD occupied. It just keeps me calm to help people. That's what I do. So, honestly,
what was the year of the car?
That's a 2007 Chevy HHR.
2000 Chevy HHR. GM is recalling 2006 through 2008 with a recall number of 08 Victor 444000.
And hers falls right between the two.
Yep, exactly.
No, this is from 2006 through 2008.
Oh, I don't know, but that's when I talked to the chick at the transportation, she said 06 or 07 wasn't part of that recall. So I don't know. And I mean, nobody notified me. Nobody's notified me of this at all. Chevy, not even the mechanic who worked on it.
But write down that number if you can write something or put it down on your phone.
There is statute of limitations on recalls for the time you have to respond.
She's never gotten notice. Just for the sake of the.
Also, when you get a car there, you're supposed to call if it's Chevy or whatever, and say, hey, I own this car, give them the VIN number, and then they know who to send the notices to.
Sweetheart, if everybody did what they were supposed to do, wouldn't have problems.
I understand, hon. I understand. Oh, man, I had a car on my Sentry go out, and the transmission went out all within 6 months last year. I feel your pain, hon. Trust me. I feel it. I had to have it fault. Lady B, do you have the chat window mm-hmm. open? Okay,
I'm at work. Sweetheart, I'm at work. Okay, well, I'm walking around trying to silently empty trash cans while I'm talking to you guys.
Well, you can go back to the archive.
I can write down that.
Yeah, you can go back to the archive and just scrub to this, and it's like, what was it? We'd say it's 85 minutes into the program, and you'll hear Roger read that recall number again.
Okay.
And
you're going to be, you don't come up on Spotify, but I think I can get you on iHeart. I cannot get you on Spotify. That's the only thing I have. I don't have iTunes or anything like that. I'm sorry to bother y'all. I know y'all don't have a lot of answers or anything.
No. We want to help. And in fact,
I got a
note from Dave number 11 a little bit ago. Remember Dave and you and me, we swap Steely Dan lyrics. And
right on, Dave. Hey,
and Dave said, paging Arnold. So I've just texted Arnold in PA.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask him to check out the way you described it on the podcast and see if he's got any input.
Okay.
Roger, go ahead and give that number. Then I want to tell my tale. Well, it'll only take 2 minutes, but it's funny.
All right. I'm going to give another number, but this is electrical system.
Okay.
1414 Victor 0470000.
Hey Roger, would you email me those two numbers and I will in turn email those to Lady B, okay?
Okay, I'll just put them through the regular horn contact.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Reader's Digest, Lady B, and I'll be real quick about this. So you're not alone. Last year, Karen stops at the dollar store a mile from the house. The car was running like a top. She goes back in to start it, wouldn't start back up. I had it towed to the local mechanic. Couldn't find a tow anywhere because I'm up here in Hooterville, so I had to pay I called the cops, and they sent out a tow service, and he just way overcharged me for towing it a mile. Had it towed to a garage. He said, I can't do anything with it. I don't know. Have it towed to Fred's garage, which is like 2 miles away. Oh, okay. Did that. Fred said it needs a computer. All right. Fred put a computer in the car. And he calls me up. And this is all very expensive. And I said, well, don't use aftermarket parts. Make sure you use a genuine Nissan part. And he did. He called me up. He said, it's ready to go. Come get it. And that was right about the time I started experimenting with this Georgia oil that's legal, okay? So I went and picked it up. It was night. And I'm coming home, and every light on that freaking car started to lighten up at me, man. The car started lurching and going back and forth. And I'm thinking, is this the oil messing with me, or is this car really just screwed up, you know? It's supposed to be for new and fixed, you know? It's got a new computer. So I get it home, come to find out, wasn't the oil. The car is really screwed up. So I had to have it hawed, towed again, which was like a $300 tow to the dealer in Cumming, Georgia, and all it needed was the guy was on to the right thing. It did need a computer, but he didn't have the software that would talk to Nissan's home base, okay? It needed a firmware upgrade. So I got a firmware upgrade, and it's been, fine ever since, computer-wise. So but that whole ordeal cost me about $3,000, you know.
Lord God.
I'm telling you, I feel your pain, man. I do. And then 6 months later, the transmission went out. So that's a whole other story. But
Yeah. Well,
Call the guy, Steve.
I did. But I'm going to let Lady B know she's not alone, man. This kind of crap happens to everybody where it gets towed hither and yonder and nobody can figure out what the hell's going on.
Here's the thing. When my dad bought it back in 08, it was in 07, he bought it in 08. I think it had 40,000 miles on it. I'm not sure. But now it's got 144,000 miles on it. it's time for another cost. We've scored about $3,000 in it this year so far. My twin. I just can't afford another car. And I know she'll help me as best as she can, but like I said, her husband needs a car. And, I don't know. It's almost existential because I keep looking back at my fucking life and thinking, God, where did I screw up, you know? I got a master's degree in cleaning buildings. That's another story. That's just me feeling sorry for myself.
Oh, yeah, you can get lost. You can get lost on that spider web, Lady B.
Oh, my God. So, but long story short, yeah, so the electric drive, just let us know if it's running. Place, Express Auto Repair, and they own two or three shops in the spring, so they're a small mom and pop thing. But they might be. They are blaming AAA. Somebody, and the last guy who tried to get it on his truck, they bought a flatbed. I told them, you can't move this car. You have to bring another truck along. And the last guy who towed it, he's like, oh man, somebody did something. Somebody fried something. You know, between when you first took it to the first mechanic and to take it to the second mechanic, somebody crossed wires. You know, they didn't move. I call them brick size, but they're larger than that. They have these little portable jumpers that are in lane six.
And nobody wants to take responsibility either. They all want to punt, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, but I did get I sent a text, an email to AAA telling the third or eighth, 20th person that I had talked to that I wanted a name so that I can file a send you guys a subpoena so I can take it to small claims court. One of them sent me back an email saying, I will talk to you. I will call you on Monday. I'm not in the office, but I'll call you on Monday. And from what I said, because I was talking about that lady before on Monday who was all ready to fix it, and then Tuesday she called me, this is a common problem, we have to do with it. So my confidence is kind of getting a little bit shaky. I'm just wondering if I have any leg to stand on.
And Lady B, a lot of it is greed, but the car dealerships, they don't want mom and pop dealerships to be able to fix your car. They want the dealer to be able to fix it. And that's why they only allow these computers to talk to the mothership. I mean, your mom and pop can diagnose and fix, but, you know, if you can't get the firmware upgrade on the computer or whatever it needs, then it's not going to work right. So, I mean, a lot of it is just greed, man. And that's the way we're going with these new.
That's what
cars.
We call capitalism.
Yeah.
It's way past the top of the hour. So I'm going to leave you guys to it for you to wrap it up.
I'm so glad you called in, though, and I'm so glad you shared, Lady D.
Keep us posted on that, because we've all been there, and the moral of the story for me now, if something breaks down, I'm just going to have it gone straight to the dealer. I had to eliminate mom and pop shops, and that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
But it seems like they can't fix anything anymore other than brake jobs and oil changes and just common sense stuff. But if it's something like where it won't start, just go to the dealer. That's, you know, because ultimately that's where it's going to wind up, you know.
Hey, Lady B.
All I know is somebody tied my car. Somebody fried, you know, the electrical system, the alternator or whatever. And they're telling me, well, it was because your car was old. I mean, that's like saying, somebody hit your grandma with a car and saying, well, she died because she was old. No, she died because she was hit by a car.
Right.
I would venture to say it needs a new computer. I would venture to say I would almost bet money on it.
Hey, Lady B, I'll make a deal with you. You will get your car situation resolved to your complete and utter satisfaction, and I'll be up and around thumbing a ride, and you'll pick me up, and we'll go get Whataburgers or something nice.
That sounds like a lovely idea.
Well, if you're putting that out first, I appreciate it. As far as getting to California, you might have to for that.
Life's funny. You never know. You just never know.
I think you will have your problems all the well, Scott. I appreciate it. And it's not like I'm not surrounded by loving and supportive people. I mean, you know, I can't believe, like I said, my friend loaning me his car. That would never happen to me.
My family can't do it, and I have a large family, but they're all driving beaters, and they all work. They're all, we were all essential personnel during the pandemic. That's the kind of jobs they have.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not talking about $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, except for my twin. She makes the most out of all of us. But like I said, she's got issues that she's got to deal with. And I just feel awful because I rely on her for those things. And in return, I'll do anything she wants. I'll do any, and I do. I do everything. Anything she wants, I will do. But this one is something I, you know, how do you pay back somebody who might be dropping $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 from you? We can't, you know, and it just made me feel bad all over.
Jesus.
It made me feel bad all over. And I just got to do something right. But this damn cleaning job is the only thing I've been able to hold on to for almost 6 years. And, you know, Rob and I mean, what you're going through, sweetheart, I appreciate. I mean, the people supporting you, y'all have no idea. It is very hard to do what you love, what you're good at, what you were put on this earth for without the help of others. And, you know, it's hard. Not everybody gets to do what they love.
No,
and,
no. If you love, you know, if you love, what, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. That's what my dad always said.
Oh shit! But anyway, okay. So take care, Robin's.
Take care.
Past the top of the hour.
Take care, Lady B.
Yeah, thank you guys.
For sharing, Lady B, thanks for sharing your auto story. We've all got one. We've all got one.
I know you
thanks,
guys.
Thanks for your call, dear. You know we love you. And thanks for getting us off. Thanks for getting us off to a rousing start with your email earlier relative to Kirsten Sinema and those.
But you know what? I'm a woman. You know, Robin, I'm a woman too. I'll tell you what. Fuck that bitch. She's a bitch, 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 and I'll keep saying it until it gets tired.
I hate her with the heat of 1,000 suns, man. Jesus.
I'm telling you, fuck that bitch, and then fuck her again tomorrow. And then when she gets tired of that, somebody, I don't know, sue her. You know she's wrong. She knows she's wrong.
I don't hate much, Lady B, but I hate on her, man. You know, just
because she wants to fuck up people's lives. Yes. You know, you want to make money, people off or whatever. Don't be doing that on a national level. Don't be submitting 350 million Americans or whatever to your bullshit. Fucking sociopaths run for office anyway. I'm sorry, Robin, that's not against you. But sociopaths like running for office. They like that cop.
Georgia worked its ass off to give us a one-seat majority, yes. And she wins and just pisses it all away just because she wants the limelight on her.
No, she wants to go back to the Senate, and she knows there ain't no other way. I mean, this is cold. This is just pure cold-blooded political calculation.
I gotta get.
I was gonna say, Robin. Yeah, you gotta go. But I say, don't they still get paid after they leave office?
Oh, she's gonna get paid even more.
In perpetuity, yeah, of course. She'll never have to worry about a car or going to the hospital with a sciatic nerve. Hell no, she's covered, man.
And that's the thing I'll say, and I'll wrap it up, though. Listening to all the stuff that we're talking about, the water, all that shit. America, and they said that their Social Security disability is long. It's behind. I think with COVID, a lot of people had mental breakdowns. A lot of people had issues. My sister had heart surgery this year. I'm telling you, this shit is long and it's complicated. If America had preventive care, if America took the time to make sure the water was clean, we'll have a lot of kids who could have issues with lead poisoning. If America would do the fucking right thing, we wouldn't have a backlog for Social Security. We wouldn't have homeless people on the streets. We wouldn't have these problems. And nobody should want to be a leader of a country that has so much but does so little for its own people. And that's all I got to say. Peace out, y'all. Love, peace, and soul. Take it easy, and I will talk to you later.
All right. Love that. Take care, Lady B. Thanks, everybody. I do have to get out of here so that we can finish December and not be subjected to the tender mercies of Podbean. What a night. A miracle. A miracle. We start next week with everything behind the week fully funded. And that is nothing short of amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, thank you so much. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Y'all were amazing this evening. Thank you. To each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation, thank you. To our all-volunteer staff, thanks to Steve, and thank you to Sparky, and thank you to Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. No commercials. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please, get your booster, get your flu shot, wipe your surfaces down. Help stop the spread of RSV and the rest of the various and sundry plagues. Wear your mask when you're around the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed, and generally in crowds. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer wherever you go. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for heaven's sakes, if some bleach blonde woman comes walking down the street saying, "You know what? I'm an independent now," avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.